Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Jim Taylor. 2 weeks till Election Day, and as we hear from CBS News correspondent Howard Arenstein, it's all about the economy.
Thank you, everybody.
Obama told an economic roundtable in Lake Worth, Florida, that McCain's economic plans won't create new jobs.
Here in Florida, we lost nearly 11,000 jobs in September alone.
McCain appeared in Bensalem, Pennsylvania, where he said Obama's tax cuts amount to a welfare giveaway.
The government will write them all checks called a tax credit, and the Treasury will have to cover those checks by taxing other people.
Republicans say Obama's economics will lead to socialism. Howard Arenstein, CBS News, Washington. Iraq. Will there be a reopening of negotiations on the presence of American soldiers there?
Defense Secretary Robert Gates warns that U.S. troops will have to, quote, stop doing anything in about 2 months if there's no official mandate. Gates says he doesn't want any more negotiations, but some members of Iraq's cabinet declare they're not satisfied with the tentative deal, a draft that calls for U.S. forces to leave Iraqi cities by the end of June 09 and to leave Iraq by the end of 2011 unless Iraq asks the Americans to stay. Dan Revive, CBS News, Washington.
It's happened in at least 9 different cities.
Starting yesterday, Chase banks across the country started receiving envelopes that contained a threatening communication as well as a powdered substance.
Richard Kolko with the FBI. Initial tests for toxics are negative. The vast majority of those banks involved Chase banks. Former NFL quarterback Michael Vick may be making a plea deal. Details from reporter Pete Combs in Atlanta.
Vick is already doing time at the federal pen in Leavenworth, Kansas, after pleading guilty to charges related to dogfighting. But those are federal charges, and for months, state dogfighting charges have been looming against the disgraced Falcons quarterback in Virginia. Now comes word from a state court in Surry County, Virginia, that Vick's lawyers want to play Let's Make a Deal, that he may plead guilty to those state charges in order to clear the way for his early release from federal prison.
Alumni of Framingham State College in Massachusetts wondering about a not-so-standard fundraising letter, which starts out normally enough, pitching support for the school's fundraising efforts, and it then says, blah, blah, blah. 137 times the blah word is used in this letter, which was approved by school officials, followed a month later with an apology. Although after the blah letter was sent, the school collected about $2,000 from nearly 40 alumni who had never previously given any money. 231-point drop of the Dow today. Why?
The easing in the credit market is being overshadowed by bad earnings news, but particularly investors are looking at what these companies have to say about future profits, and of course, that looks dim right now.
CBS News business reporter Alexis Christophorus in other financial news. After the markets closed today, Yahoo announcing it will lay off 10% of its 14,000-plus workforce. This is CBS News.
Bob Kittle here to let you know you shouldn't ignore your tires because
they need their grip, grippy, so grip. You won't slip.
Slippy slip.
That's why Interall tires are made to last.
Without costing a fortune.
So when it's time to buy, give Uniroyal a try.
For dependable, affordable tires and helpful ebooks containing money-saving tips, visit Uniroyal.com.
Experience the joy of designing your own ring at Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry.
That's Jared!
Let the experts at Jared show you how easy it is to create an engagement ring that reflects your own personal style. Choose from their popular settings in platinum or hundreds of settings in gold. Then select the perfect diamond from thousands at Jared in a wide variety of shapes and sizes to create a ring that's yours and yours alone.
It can only be Jared!
Find a Jared store or shop anytime at Jared.com.
Police officers in a Massachusetts town are going to get the day off next September 11th, and from then on, WBZ reporter Karen Toomey says it's in their newly negotiated contract.
September 11th has yet to be set aside as a federal or state holiday, but in their new contract, PBD police officers will be paid time and a quarter for the day. A union attorney says officers wanted to honor the day, but others say it's greedy. Christy Coombs, who lost her husband Jeffrey in the terrorist attacks, says she'd like to see the day set aside, but with purpose.
September 11th is about you know, the heroism all around. It's about the innocent lives that were lost, and it's about how America came together. And that's, I think, what should be remembered and you know, have people do things in honor of it.
Peabody is one of the only cities in the country to officially recognize the date as a holiday.
Britney Spears' driver's license case declared a mistrial. Jurors deliberating more than 8 hours, failing to conclude whether or not she was guilty of driving without a valid driver's license. She'd face jail time if she'd been convicted. I'm Jim Taylor, CBS News.
I'm in the best shape of my life. I run about four, maybe five
push-ups is all I can do. But for my age, that's
normal is different for everyone. That's why Aetna offers its members wellness solutions for every stage of their health, from fitness programs to information to help manage an illness.
Aetna can help me feel and
stay healthy.
To learn more, go to Aetna.com. We want you to know. Aetna.
Plans offered by Aetna Life Insurance Company and its affiliates. Health information programs provide general health information and are not a substitute for diagnosis or treatment by physician or other healthcare professional.
Guys, it's time to put your wardrobe to work. Come to the men's store inside JCPenney and get great deals on all the Stafford clothing you need for the office. This week, you'll find an unbeatable selection of Stafford suit separates, sport coats, and dress trousers. And the best part, they're all 50% off. Stafford quality makes that a great value. Work smart, dress smarter with Stafford. The men's store makes it easy to get in, find it, and get out. JCPenney.
From the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show, beaming your way from sunny San Francisco. It's a beautiful fall day here on the left coast, and San Francisco Bay is the color of Superman's hair. Check it out. On our program today, we'll take a look at the economy, get a snapshot and reaction to the bailout proposals from Christian Weller, the Center for American Progress. Dr. Weller will join us in just a moment. Mike Lux, a progressive activist who came to Washington with the Clintons in the 90s, he's going to join us later this hour. We'll talk about the Obama campaign and the way Barack has started to forcefully reject the smears issued by McCain, Palin, and the surrogates. Can you say Bill Ayers? Still waiting for my call from Dancing with the Stars. Also on today's program, Jenny Flanagan from Common Cause Colorado. When I was there for the Democratic Convention in Denver, Greg Palast warned me that many voters will be purged from the rolls in Colorado. As many as 20% will get the lowdown from Jenny Flanagan next hour. Jason Leopold, the investigative reporter, will join us. He's got updates on Troopergate in Alaska and those phony voter fraud charges that are propelled around and linked to Acorn in some cases. And then Melanie Sloan will check in from Washington. She's at Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. That's CREW. And we'll talk about the trial of Ted Stevens, his commentary under oath on the witness stand. I mean, how many massage chairs do you have at your house that are on loan from a friend? They're not yours, and they're not a gift because you didn't accept it as a gift. They are just there. And will the jury buy that? And we'll also talk about the Florida congressman with the mistress problem and a few other issues with Melanie, too. Your calls and comments welcome at any time, toll-free. We pick up the charge. It's 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And you can always email me, peter@peterbcollins.com. Major backup there, but I always see the new ones that come in. Christian E. Weller joins us to join us to launch the show today. He is a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress and an associate professor of public policy at the University of Massachusetts, Boston. And he's got expertise in retirement income security, macroeconomics, money and banking, international finance. Dr. Weller, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thank you very much for having me.
Nice to talk with you. And it appears that every month you publish a snapshot, an economic snapshot. I'm looking at, all the way back to February, and I guess it goes back beyond that. And I took a look last week at your economic snapshot for October 2008. Give us a quick look at some of the key factors, and then I want to get your take on the status of the bailout efforts and what you think might happen going forward.
Well, we've been doing this economic snapshot for a number of years now. In the beginning, it was more about the story was we're highlighting how unsustainable the economic growth was of the last few years because it was so heavily dependent on debt, on consumer debt, but also national debt, the fact that we were borrowing so heavily abroad. Then it was highlighting that we were sliding at least into the labor market recession. And the last few months, we've been highlighting basically what's happening to people, how they're feeling both the economic as well as the financial crisis that we've had. So we've now lost over 700,000 jobs in 9 consecutive months in May. In 2008, we've had flat wages for the entire business cycle. Wages have not kept up basically for the past 2 years with inflation. We've continuously had declining health care and pension benefit decreases. We've lost very sharply a lot of wealth on the housing sector. At this point, for instance, when you look at housing wealth, what matters is home equity relative to income, mm-hmm. because that's ultimately why you have wealth, to replace your income when it's no longer there, either in an emergency or because you retire. And that ratio is now at the lowest level since 1976. So those are kind of the indicators that we're highlighting to say, okay, well, how does all of this, what we're seeing, the aggregate levels that you see in the headlines of your newspapers, how does this affect you? What does this mean for you as an individual, for you and your family?
And your item number one here, businesses can't finance investment. This credit crunch has been widely talked about, and I'm still trying to get a handle on how serious it was. Today's New York Times, the Tuesday edition, front page lead story is that the credit crunch is easing. The banks are trusting one another again, and the interbank lending appears to have resumed. First of all, do you share that view? Has the credit crisis started to ease a little bit?
It seems to have eased a little bit. It's a little hard to exactly get a handle on all the data. There's a lag in there. Some of these numbers, in particular for investment numbers, there's a lag of several months. But when you look at the interest rate data, it seems like the private lending is easing up, which means that the interest rates are coming down and the gap between what businesses and families pay for the debt in between what the government pays, because that's ultimately where all the money went, is shrinking. So that's an indication that we're slowly seeing some things to ease up. We're still at fairly high levels in terms of restrictions, fairly high levels of interest rate gaps, but as I said, they're coming down, at least not getting worse.
And is this in response to the actions of Paulson, the Fed, and the congressionally passed bailout?
It's certainly, I think it's important to understand what these actions meant. Basically, what Paulson and the Fed did and have been doing for a number of months now is essentially with the $700 billion bailout, they went to the American public and said, no matter what happens, we will make sure that there is no major crisis. There was a question over should it have been $700 billion or less than $700 billion. That ultimately doesn't matter. The exact number doesn't matter. It was large enough to signal to everybody the Federal Reserve and the Treasury will step in and do whatever it takes to get us to avoid at least a major financial crisis. Together, you got to remember, after the American Congress passed the $700 billion bailout, the Europeans put another $1.8 trillion on the line. So. Mm-hmm. Policymakers together around in the industrialized countries is essentially like, we're going to step in, we're going to do whatever it takes. And that was enough to get some trust back in.
But
remember, so far no money is flowing from them.
Right. I mean, if I may channel Bush Sr., isn't this a kind of voodoo economics where, you know, we say the money is there, it's kind of a security blanket, but the 25 billion chunks that were passed out to mostly healthy banks last week in that bizarre session with Secretary Paulson, take it or leave it, sign this, or we won't offer you anything in the future. But all the speculation is that that money is going to be used as a cushion, a capital cushion by the banks. It will not necessarily cause them to lend more money. And now there is concern that it will essentially be used to pay dividends over the next few quarters on these bank stocks that aren't performing very well.
There's certainly a concern about the corporate governance at the banks. We'll see how well that works. I think Treasury, especially with the $250 billion that they said they're going to put in the banks, it has an ownership stake. It doesn't have voting rights at the banks. But Treasury has made it clear that it will look over the shoulders of the bank loan officers to make sure that they actually don't just sit on the cash, but they actually will start lending it out. And I think there is enough pressure from the political side, especially from Congress, to make sure that the money doesn't find its way either into executive compensation or dividends.
But what about the free market? What about capitalism? Because I find myself, you know, the reluctant guy here trying to talk about the fundamentals. But if banks are only lending because they are being pressured to do so, we haven't learned our lessons from the profligate lending of the last 6 or 7 years. And so a certain amount of tightening and a return to prudence really seems indicated here. And it just seems that some of these efforts might actually backfire.
Well, I think it's important to realize that one of the big lessons that we're learning from this is that economics is actually a social science. It's not like some economists would like to pretend it's a natural science. There are no laws of economics like there's law of gravity in natural sciences. This has to do with a social science. It has to do with human behavior. And part of the problem is that you get, and we know that, we've known this, overreactions in both directions. You get euphoric reactions when things have been going too well, too long. So you get the bubble. And you get these panics that we've seen in 2008. And that's generally one of the prime reasons why we have the government to step in to regulate the markets, to basically cap the euphoric transgressions, the bubbles, but we also buffer the panics at the bottom. And I think that's the part here. I think
what you're describing,
the argument here, we're lending. We don't want to get back to the overlending, the bubble years of 2004, 2005, and 2006. Mm-hmm. But we do want to get back to lending to healthy companies who can pay back the loan.
But if we're trying to avoid these high highs and low lows, wouldn't it be cheaper just to pass out some Prozac on Wall Street?
Well, it would be cheaper, actually, to have the regulators do their job. The important piece is here that the regulators, especially the Fed and the Treasury, had the opportunity to step in and have had that for several years. They could have stopped the mortgage boom, the excesses on the mortgage side years ago, and they just simply decided not to. And I think that's the important piece. Like, without any legal changes, they could have done things to prevent this from happening. They ultimately did it in 2008, but several years after they realized there was a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And so the important point here is we can avoid these big swings if we actually regulate the markets in a way that makes them work better, that and essentially if we get regulators who are willing to use the tools that the lawmakers have already given them.
Dr. Weller, what about the fact that this is purely a taxpayer effort so far? Why don't the capitalists from Wall Street have skins in this game? Just for example, the $38 billion that was passed out in bonuses in 2007, wouldn't it be reasonable to ask them to pony that up, to bail out their own asses so that we don't really end up on the hook for all of it?
Well, part of the problem is we can say, like, it's a Wall Street systemic problem, but in terms of actually taking back the money, you would actually have to draw a straight line from these mortgages have failed because this bank A or bank B did a bad action. And I think that's the hard part. It certainly
Well, but are we going to avoid that kind of, you know, I'm not interested in locking up every guy who, or person, you know, who was responsible for a bad loan or for some predatory lending. But I really think we need to get to the bottom of this, and some people need to be held accountable. Now, AIG.
They have already started locking up some of these guys in 2008, several guys. I forget which mortgage bank it was.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a sting by the FBI where 100 and odd brokers were arrested and being brought to justice. So clearly we're doing this and we're trying to recover it. The question is, how could you do this in the current situation? And to some degree, the injection of capital into the banks is meant to do that, to get the taxpayers some money back. You got to remember, the $250 billion equity injection, where the Treasury is essentially becoming partial owner of the banks, is universally hated on Wall Street because it means less money for them. So that's part of how the taxpayer, through the Treasury, is trying to recover some of the money.
All right. Christian Weller, pleasure talking with you. Thanks for joining
Thank
me today.
Thank you very much for having me.
You can read his work at the Center for American Progress, their website, AmericanProgress.org. And if you go to Experts and then click on Christian E. Weller, all of his articles, including the economic snapshots, will show up there for you. We'll take a break and return. If you've got a comment or a question, there's a good time for it. Call me now, toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540. Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Visit our website at krxa540.com.
Hello, I'm Solazar.
Hi, I'm Kirilani.
Join us Saturday
from 7 to 9 p.m.
for Good Vibrations Tools for Transformation.
Together, we'll transform your relationships,
communication,
health,
and the ability to reach your goals and dreams.
Good Vibrations.
Saturday, 7 to 9 p.m.
on AM 540 KRXA.
Hello, Marina voters. I'm Bruce Delgado, and I'm asking for your vote to be your next mayor of Marina. I was on city council from 2000 to 2004, and when I ran for mayor in 2004, I barely lost by 69 votes. With your support, we can win this time and finally have a mayor that lives and breathes working class values. My opponent goes on cruises with developers and big business interests who have financial involvement with large four-door developments, and this is too cozy to ensure citizens like you that your priorities come first during city negotiations with big business. Good-paying jobs, affordable housing, and downtown revitalization will help working-class families and seniors on fixed incomes. This is why labor unions are endorsing me and why Jane Parker, supervisor-elect for the 4th District, supports me and Marina's campaign for change. I ask for your vote by mail or on November 4th. Let's do this together. Thank you. I'm Bruce Delgado, and I approve this message.
Hi, I'm Debbie LaSala from LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli at 250 Casa Verde Way in Monterey. Buy Right has been a family-owned Monterey Bay treasure since 1938. Hungry for delicious sandwiches? Join the many LaSala regulars who love our tasty, hearty sandwiches prepared with fresh-baked Palermo bread. Eat in or grab on the run at LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli. Whatever your choice, we at LaSala's will greet you with Mon Pa hospitality and truly awesome meals. And remember, sandwich trays are also available for meetings and parties. LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli is located on the west side of Highway 1, exiting at 250 Casa Verde Way and going just past the first stop sign. For more information, call 372-6824. That's 372-6824. LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli, a Mon Pa treasure at your service for 70 years.
Cornucopia Landscaping in Santa Cruz is a complete design, installation, and maintenance company. Cornucopia Landscaping specializes in water-saving gardens which retain a lush appearance. You can have fruit trees, grapevines, fresh vegetables, and many beautiful ornamental plants while using very little water. In fact, an entire cornucopia landscaping garden sips only as much water in a season as a lawn of equal size gulps down in 1 week. Drip irrigation is the key to a water-saving garden. Are you looking for a beautiful flagstone pathway? Cornucopia Landscaping builds decks, patios, arbors, fences, retaining walls, planter boxes, and many other custom-built wooden structures. Serving Santa Cruz County since 1996. For more information or a consultation, call Davis at 831-335-1209. That's 335-1209. That number again is 335-1209.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Cruz. Come listen to the new Jennifer Cruz Show, Saturdays at noon, where we will get into it, I-N-T-U-I-T. We'll talk about intuition, emotions, and passions, all the invisible aspects of each and every one of us that nobody talks about. The Jennifer Cruz Show is made possible by Weiland Galleries in Carmel and Water Me Well Inner Healing Apparel. Visit watermewell.com. See you Saturdays at noon on the new Jennifer Cruz Show. Remember, Saturdays at noon, only on AM 540. Get into it.
Time for more on the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm your humble host, Peter B. This portion of the program is supported by some great listeners of the show. Peggy Kestel of Smith River, California. Steve Green of Eureka. And Jeannie Johnson of Fremont, who listens on Green 960 late at night in San Francisco. I'm grateful for your support.
Somebody I never met, but in a way I know. Didn't think you'd get so much from a picture show. Man, eyes burst, real people ask, what's the deal? This ain't how it's supposed to be, don't I know as a rich.
And you can help, too. The link is right there on my homepage at peterbcollins.com. And if you don't have internet access, you can write to me. Box 100, Mill Valley, California, 94942. That's P.O. Box 100, Mill Valley. The zip code is 94942. And at the urging of some of our listeners, we're going to make a test here of a subscription effort to support the PBC show. Working on the details, we'll have it up on the website by the end of the week, and I'll let you know as soon as we have all of that, all those details figured out. I want to thank Tom Seaborn, my good buddy and longtime supporter at KGOE in Eureka, who passed along an interesting item from the Eureka Times Standard today. And it has to do with the rules about polling places on Election Day. Now, please be aware, no matter where you are, if you go to your polling place wearing an Obama button, an Obama T-shirt, a McCain-Palin button or T-shirt, you're violating the law. And Carolyn Cernich, the Registrar of Voters in Humboldt, has said that she will provide smocks, you know, like a hospital smock or a little raincoat or a pullover, in case people show up with fashions that express a political viewpoint. So keep that in mind. The California Elections Code prohibits any electioneering within 100 feet of a polling place on Election Day. Now, in Arcata, the Trinity Baptist Church is a polling place for two precincts, about 600 voters. And over the last few months, they have proudly displayed a Yes on Proposition 8 sign right there on church property, which is also a voting place. Now, over the weekend, apparently that banner, along with several dozen small signs, was taken down or destroyed. Someone used brown spray paint to scrawl 8 is hate across the church's sign, and that caused about $300 in damage. Now, get this. The pastor of the church is named the Reverend John McCain. That's what it says here, and I'm believing it. Apparently, he goes by the name Larry, so he's not confused with the former POW running for president. And he said he's within his legal rights to display the message even on Election Day, since the sign is located more than 100 feet from the church's entrance. I think we'll probably take it down on Election Day. I wouldn't want to be unfair, McCain said. Our church is a polling place, and our sign is well over 100 feet from where people will be voting. But Tom Seaborn raises the more important issue. Isn't it a violation of the tax-exempt status of the Trinity Baptist Church to display a political banner in support of the constitutional ban on same-sex marriage? I think so. And even if you're the Reverend John McCain, I'd suggest you take a little care. Maybe talk to an IRS attorney and find out what your rights are, because I believe that is a violation. And there is a group of pastors that preached from the pulpit endorsing John McCain, purposefully trying to trigger a reaction from the IRS. It'll be interesting to see if they get it. Tom, thanks for passing that along. And Reverend John McCain, if you're listening, call me during the Free Speech Zone today. I'd love to hear your point of view. 888-5-PETER-B is our number, and we'll be taking calls in our third hour. Straight ahead, Mike Lux returns to our program, progressive activist and strategist from Washington. We'll talk about the Obama campaign and much more right here on the PBC Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File, sponsored in part by the makers of naturally derived Amil BP, clinically shown to help maintain healthy blood pressure. I'm Charles Osgood. It was on this day 200 years ago that Samuel Francis Smith was born. It was Smith, a Baptist minister, who penned the words to the song America, the one that goes like this.
My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing.
T.M. Morgan owns what is said to be the original manuscript.
The manuscript is around, I would say, around maybe 7-8 inches big. It's entirely penned by him, the four stanzas, and they're beautifully written.
But there is something about that song that you and I may know that Samuel Francis Smith didn't. That story after this. Over 70 million Americans deal with pre-hypertension, but there's a wonderful new product called Amil BP that makes maintaining healthy blood pressure easy. Take it every day the way you take your vitamins. Amil BP uses a patented, naturally derived ingredient called Amil Peptide, clinically shown to help maintain a healthy blood pressure. Keep yours in a healthy range by eating right, exercising, and taking Amil BP. Available at CVS and Walgreens, or visit AmilBP.com to find other fine retailers near you.
Experience the joy of designing your own ring at Jarrett, the Galleria of Jewelry.
That's Jarrett!
Let the experts at Jarrett show you how easy it is to create an engagement ring that reflects your own personal style. Choose from their popular settings in platinum or hundreds of settings in gold. Then select the perfect diamond from thousands at Jarrett in a wide variety of shapes and sizes to create a ring that's yours and yours alone.
It can only be Jarrett!
Find a Jarrett store or shop anytime at Jarrett.com.
The tune Samuel Smith used for his song, America, was the same one as in the British National Anthem, God Save the King, or as it's sung today,
God save our gracious queen, long live our noble queen, God save the queen.
He didn't realize that that was the British national anthem, God Save the King, which was very ironic at the time, and a lot of people criticized him for doing that.
You mean he didn't have a clue?
He had no clue, and he told everyone after he was criticized, he said, I honestly had no idea that this was the British national anthem.
Well, how was that possible?
You got to remember, back then there was no radios, there was no internet, and he did not live in England, so he had no way of really knowing.
Ironic, though, considering how it goes.
Land of the Pilgrim's Pride, land where my fathers died.
The section where he says, land where my fathers died, that's a very, very moving sentence, because we got to remember that these people's fathers actually fought in the Revolutionary War and the War of 1812.
Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Hey, this is Tom Hartman for Dr. Daniel Turner. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry for 35 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place before your first oral examination. He interviews every new patient so he understands what is important to you, and because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at the polls, and it looks like Barack Obama is on track to win this thing. Or is it just my imagination running away with me? The wishful thinking has been building up for so long.
Geeks, they blow my window. I watch her as she passes by. I say to myself, you're such a lucky guy to have a girl like her. It's truly a dream come true. Out of all the fellas in the world, she belongs to me. But it was just my imagination running away with me.
Mike Lux is a progressive activist and strategist based in Washington. He returns to our program today. He blogs occasionally over there at openleft.com. Hi, Mike.
Hey, how are you, Peter?
I'm doing okay. How about you?
You know, I'm doing pretty good. I'll be doing a whole lot better in 2 weeks, hopefully.
Yep.
Or a whole lot worse, you know, but I hope and suspect it's a whole lot better.
Well, you know, I'm very encouraged on a number of fronts, and we'll get to the reservations that clearly we're both concerned about in a minute or two. But today at Open Left, Chris Bowers has posted a victory chart, and it's very encouraging. He's up by 8 points in Virginia. That's an important battleground state that went Bush last time. Colorado up by 5 points. Nevada, 5 points. North Carolina, 3.7. Ohio, where the heist occurred in 2004, 2-point margin right now. Missouri and Florida, very tight at 1% and just a half point. But the electoral map is pretty clear now that Obama really needs only one of those battleground states to pull it off.
Well, yeah, and let me do sort of my traditional caveat. Peter, you know, for you who reads Open Left and others who read it, you know that I can be kind of grumpy on this, that it's never over till it's over.
Mm-hmm.
Being the good Midwesterner that I am, I don't believe you should count your chickens before they're hatched. So I will say this, you know, the polls could tighten up still. In the last couple of weeks. And we still don't know for sure what the Bradley effect is. Pollsters think that they've accounted for it. The numbers have tended to be more accurate about black candidates in recent years, but we don't know how people walking into the polling booth for president or whether they're going to be affected by it in a different kind of way than they would be voting for governor or senator. So. So there's a lot of variables that we don't know yet. I would also say, especially if, you know, we slip in the polls by even 2-3 points in the national polls, that will make things a whole lot tighter in a bunch of the states you were just talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think we should be celebrating yet.
Nope.
I do think that it looks pretty solid for 264 electoral votes.
Mm-hmm.
I feel even if we slipped by 2 or 3 points, I feel pretty confident that we would be fine in all of the Kerry states plus Iowa and New Mexico right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm feeling, you know, relatively confident about those states. I still have incredible nervousness between all those factors I just mentioned and stealing of elections that you mentioned and other things.
Yeah, the graft factor is the one that I'm concerned about because we're seeing...
We have to be very cognizant of the fact that none of the rest of the states, once you get past that 264 number that I was just talking about, I feel confident, none of the rest of those states is easy. All of those states have a history of not just Republican voting, but also, you know, heavy suppression of minority voters and student voters, and of course those are our two best categories.
We're going to get an update from Colorado next hour, Mike, because when you and I were there for the convention in August, I talked to Greg Palast, And he had done some deep investigation, and his estimate was that as many as one-fifth of eligible voters in Colorado would find their names purged when they showed up on Election Day. And this is just one of the schemes that Republicans have been using.
Yep.
They're micro-enforcing the Help America Vote Act to throw people off for just a typo or Mike instead of Michael on your voter registration. And so they're using every available means, including some legal ones. and then, of course, there's this overarching smear about Acorn. And yep. the effort to convince people that the real problem here is voter fraud. Look over there, voter fraud, while they pull off election fraud
right.
with computer games and the purging that I referenced and many other techniques that they're pretty good at.
No, I think that's exactly right. We are going to have to be, vigilant about all of that. And in Colorado, the state you're talking about, there's a very right-wing Republican Secretary of State who is doing everything in their power to purge voters. And of course, our side is mounting legal challenges to that and I think being fairly vigilant about it. But a lot of this will depend ultimately on judges' rulings and other kinds of factors. So we have a long way to go before this election is over. Two weeks is an eternity in an election when you think about all the shenanigans that can be pulled, all of the games that can be played,
mm-hmm.
all of the legal and illegal tricks that can be that can be done. So we have a long way to go.
Now, here's a new poll in the New York Times. It's the CBS Times poll, and it's very interesting because it shows that Obama is rated 53-33. That's 53 have a favorable impression. His negatives are 33. McCain is 36 positive, 45 negative. And the negative campaigning, including the virulent attacks that even many Republicans now wince at, I think are really having a backfire effect on the McCain campaign. But one of the points that Tom Hartman made, and I heard him mention this on a show recently, is that the real impact of the negative campaigning is not necessarily to hold the base or alienate the opposition, but to just get people to express that they're fed up with the whole thing, a pox on both houses, and they vote for a third-party candidate, or, in a worst case, don't vote at all.
Yeah. Well, I actually wrote a post in part on exactly that topic a couple of weeks back. What I was predicting, this was a month out in the campaign, and basically what I said was John McCain, that campaign is going to go heavy, heavy, heavy negative, do all kinds of nasty robocalls and direct mail. We're not even seeing the mail that's going to be coming out yet because it's going to come in the last 2 weeks. But everything that I predicted in that post has turned out to be true. And I said, what I said is the reason is not they are not just targeting swing voters, although of course they're targeting some swing voters with these. But they want all these excited young people, these passionate young people who feel like things are finally changing and politics means something, politics matters. They want all that excitement to be washed away in a pool of mud. They want young people to say, "Oh God, politics is such an ugly business. I don't want to be involved in this."
Mm-hmm.
That's a huge part of their goal. The uglier they can make it, the stinkier they can make it, the more that they hope that'll drive down turnout, and that's been a very traditional strategy for a long time, and they're doing it to the max this time. But
mm-hmm.
their best hope, of course, they're targeting, those older blue collar white voters that they've always targeted.
Mm-hmm.
But their best hope is to not just pick up more of those votes, but to drive down the enthusiasm and drive down the young people that are coming out for the first time and who aren't used to all of this mudslinging.
Mike Lux with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. If you have a comment, you can join us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Mike, I was in the Midwest last week for a big family event. My mom turned 85, and I was in Detroit.
Where are you from, Peter?
Cincinnati.
Oh, great.
Yeah?
I'm a Midwesterner, too, Nebraska.
Yeah, right. So I stopped off in Detroit first where I have other family, and Uncle Charlie, who is turning 90 in a couple of months, retired from the Ford Motor Company where he worked on the assembly line for 35 years. And he is a Democrat, and he always loves to see me and talk politics, and so I got to his house, and we started chatting. And first I had to chastise him. I said, Charlie, you know, I love coming to your house, but every time I come here, you got the Fox News channel on. I said, you got to watch that. That's poison. And he blamed his trophy wife, Harriet, for that. She likes the whooshes, apparently. But he said, Peter, I got one question, and then I can vote for Obama. And I said, okay, Charlie, what is it? And he said, is he going to pay reparations for slavery? And I said, Charlie, where did you get that? I said, oh, I don't know. And I said, I pointed at the tube, and I said, I think that's a Sean Hannity talking point. And so it shows how even people, I mean, Charlie's voted Democratic all his life. But Detroit is still a segregated, polarized city. And there's a lot of fear, and the Kwame Kilpatrick mess hasn't helped things. And so that was the card I played. I said, Charlie, there's no real comparison between Kwame Kilpatrick and Barack Obama. You know, he's not surrounded by cronies and people who are there to defend him from his misdeeds. And he's also not surrounded by an entirely African-American crew. And Charlie seemed relieved by that, and he promised me he is going to vote for Obama. But I bring it up because I think that there are many people who are being affected and at least slowed down, if not deterred, by the smear campaigns from the right.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about that. And I think, you know, you're talking about your uncle is in, you said, in the Detroit area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think there is a lot of it even in bigger urban settings. But I think when you get into rural areas and ex-urban areas, it's even bigger out there. There's all kinds of rumor mongering, all kinds of fear stuff, hate stuff, really nasty kind of things going on in a lot of communities that never hit the TV screens,
yeah.
Never hit the radio dial.
Well, the talk radio—it's on right-wing hate radio, but many progressives and moderates don't listen to that, so they don't know about it.
And that's true. That's true as well. But there's a lot of underground stuff going on between mail, phones, the internet. There's a lot of things under the radar that we don't know about frequently until days after it happens.
Well, Sarah Palin had an unauthorized encounter with a couple of reporters and acknowledged that she doesn't like robocalls. That was kind
of
interesting.
McCain in the past has said he doesn't like robocalls. So, but of course they've contradicted pretty much everything they've ever said in this whole campaign. They've railed against things that they used to be for. They've talked about people. They've talked about things with Obama that they used to do. I mean, this whole campaign has been hypocrisy on parade. It's been incredible.
It's remarkable. Yeah, we're going to take a break and continue with Mike Lux. You can read his work at openleft.com. And if you have a comment, you can join me now. Toll free 888-5 Peter B. It's 13 minutes in front of the hour, and this is the Peter B. Collins Show, produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill. Nick Tanum, right here today, taking your calls. You're listening to KRXA 540. Visit our website at KRXA540.com.
your investment. Custom painting. Call Don Dickman Painting for a free estimate. Don Dickman Painting, serving Monterey Peninsula and the Big Sur Coast. Quality paint jobs and green painting solutions are fast and affordable. Call 667-2144. For a free estimate, call 667-2144. That's 667-2144. I'm Don Dickman. When quality counts, let us protect your investment. You're in good hands.
With Don Dickman Painting.
We're at www.dondickmanpainting.com.
Okay, it's star time. Set the sonic transducer on program 8.
Program 8.
Secure all levels at 0.
0. My feet. I can't move my feet.
It's as if we're glued to the spot.
You are, so quake with fear, you tiny fools.
The Paperwing Theater Company proudly presents the Rocky Horror Show, playing October 29th through November 1st in New Monterey at 320 Hoffman Avenue. Don't miss the final presentation of the rock and roll audience participation favorite, playing for 6 shows only with special Halloween and Saturday midnight shows. Come in costume and bring your friends. Call 675-0521 for tickets and info. That's 675-0521. Tickets are going fast, so don't miss this award-winning presentation of the Rocky Horror Show. Call 675-0521 now.
You better believe it, baby.
Get Rocky Horror tickets now by calling 675-0521.
Come here, Max. What's wrong? What? Oh, I get it. A rough day?
Hi, I'm Dr. Annetta Richmond inviting you to Natural Veterinary Therapy in Pacific Grove, the peninsula's new holistic veterinary medicine clinic featuring a wide variety of natural treatments and remedies for common ailments. We also specialize in acupuncture, chiropractic, and physical rehabilitation using an underwater treadmill. Natural Veterinary Therapy, Lighthouse Avenue between 14th and 15th in Pacific Grove. Our environment is unique. Clients comment on how calm and caring it is for their pets and themselves. At Natural Veterinary Therapy, our goal is to help your pet heal from within. So think for yourself and think for your pets. Visit our website at naturalveterinarytherapy.com or call 655-0501. That's 655-0501.
Meow. Whiskers, I'd better call Dr. Richmond for you, too.
Meow, meow.
2 weeks left. You got to pump it up. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. We continue with Mike Lux. Catch his blog action at openleft.com. And Mike, recently McCain, of course, is increasingly desperate, and his response to the announcement that the Obama campaign raised $150 million in September was crocodile tears, references to Nixon and Watergate, and this will produce an inevitable scandal that he, John McCain, will personally have to clean up. And I find that ironic. At the same time, you know, the fundraising that has occurred involves a lot of new people, average contributions of $85, $86. But the New York Times reports today that 600 people wrote checks in the $30,000 range. And so I want to know what your thoughts are with the huge amounts that he's raised from so many different people. Will he be able to look at, say, the Wall Street hedge fund people who provided some of his early money and say, you don't own me, there are more than 2 million Americans who are shareholders in the Obama presidency?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I think when you are, when you're president and you're raising money from that many different people, and you have the ability at any time to go to the internet and say, you know, we're being attacked, we're in a tough spot, we need your help. It totally changes the equation in terms of whether you have to be beholden to, you know, to some of the big money that inevitably, invariably comes into presidential campaigns and into politics. If you've raised you know, $150 million in a month, and you know, let alone, I don't know what the current count is in terms of how much he's raised overall, but you know, hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yeah, it's around $500 million, I think.
Yeah, so if you raise that much money, some guy who wrote $30,000 check just doesn't have that much juice.
Yeah.
You know, it's such a tiny percentage and even the people who have raised a lot of money, you know, he's raised $500 million. It means that even like their absolute top raisers, you know, the ones who've been working day and night and have been with the campaign from the beginning,
mm-hmm.
Who have raised $500,000. Now, $500,000 is a serious chunk of change. But think about it. It's like 0.1% of all of the money that he's raised.
All right. So will Obama respond to this?
He doesn't have to be beholden to these folks in the same kind of way that the politicians in the past have.
But assuming a victory, will he turn around then and try to fix the system, or will he say, well, it ain't broke because it really worked for me?
Well, I totally hope that he tries to fix the system. In fact, I've been working with a coalition of groups who are going to try to make a run at the public financing issue. You know, he was one of the original co-sponsors of Dick Durbin's bill for public financing. When Obama first came, one of the first bills that he co-sponsored was Dick Durbin's bill on public financing of elections, and not just presidential but congressional elections as well. And so I know he believes in it. I know he thinks it's important. Otherwise, he wouldn't have made it one of the first bills that he ever co-sponsored.
Mm-hmm.
And Durbin, who's a fanatic on that issue, totally into that issue, is the closest single person to Obama in the United States Senate. Mm-hmm. So I believe that he's going to be for it. The question is, with all else that's going on, can we get him to make it a priority?
Right.
And as you said, if he thinks the system ain't broke, will he do it?
Mm-hmm.
But I hope and believe he will.
Yeah, I agree with you on the priorities. I want my Fourth Amendment back first. Ben and Salinas, join us on the Peter B. Collins Show with Mike Lux.
Yes, this is the great Ben with a couple of issues that I like to bring. First of all, the national shame of this hateful racism is being entered as a factor by people like Rush Limbaugh. Keep on trying to turn this into a black-white thing, and in some ways they're succeeding. We have to be aware that many Americans in this country are going to go to their grave being racists. But not one of these people has ever said no to their Social Security check or their Medicare when they get the cancer of the everything. But in a way, it's kind of like discussing abortion. Years and years of the Roe versus Wade and all this abortion discussion, and not one mind has been changed yet. And that's the way it is with racism. They love their hatred and racism, but they also love the white privilege. That means they don't have to compete equitably. And therein, as many less than good Americans, and I'll confine myself.
All right, Ben, thank you. They're wedging, and the wedge works, certainly, with many people. Mike, as you look at the situation right now, do you think that this will be a romp, and are we looking at having to deal with one-party rule? That's the latest threat that the McCain campaign is trying to trot out there. Ooh, Nancy Pelosi is going to be too powerful.
Well, I sure hope that's our biggest problem going forward. I do think it's going to be, I believe that it will be a serious victory. I think that we are, extremely well positioned to pick up 25 seats or more in the House.
Mm-hmm.
I feel very confident that we'll pick up at least 5 seats in the Senate, and I would expect quite possibly, in fact, a few more.
Mm-hmm.
So we could be right on the edge of 60, maybe even get to 60 seats in the Senate. So we could have very strong Democratic control of both houses of Congress as well as Obama, and I think that would be a really good thing. And I don't just say that because I'm a Democrat, but we need big changes in this country, and it's very hard to get big changes if you had divided government.
Well, and the Republican hypocrisy, they talk about how Washington is broken and the gridlock of partisan politics. Well, one-party rule would fix that.
yes, it would. That's exactly right.
Mike, I got 30 seconds. What would you like to add?
Well, I just think it's important for everybody to keep working, keep giving over the Internet, keep making calls or going into...
you know, the swing states to go door knocking on the weekends. We have so much work left to do, and this thing isn't over. And besides, you know, let's pile on. If we're going to win big, let's run up the score and crush Nixonism and Reaganism and Bushism once and for all.
Get ourselves a mandate, and then we can get married in California. Thanks a lot, Mike. Good to talk to you.
Thanks, Peter.
Paying $100 an hour for computer support just for the prompt to return? Hi, I'm Luke Ford, founder and CEO of My Computer Works. Whenever you have a major computer catastrophe or a simple question, give my U.S.-based computer technicians a call, and they'll remotely connect your computer and fix the problem for you. It's safe, secure, and you won't have to let a stranger into your home. Call now to receive 1 month of service free with a membership. Now let's hear from some of our satisfied customers.
They cleaned up the computer, and I sat there and watched everything going on. I was just having a ball.
So the convenience of having My Computer Works connect to my computer right then, fix it for me immediately, is priceless.
I was having a lot of major problems with my computer, and they basically evaluated the computer and went through and eliminated the problems I was having.
Call My Computer Works now, toll free, 888-629-9618. That's 888-629-9618. 888-629-9618.
My Computer Works. Does your...
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. The campaign intensifies.
14 days, who's counting? 14 days, we've got to get out our vote.
Losses on Wall Street today.
The easing in the credit market is being overshadowed by bad earnings news.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Early voters turned out at the polls in Louisiana today with one issue uppermost in their minds.
I think it is like economics. We need a leader who can straighten this mess.
There's so much that's happening now with our economy, with our kids going off to war. It's like we are slowly unraveling.
This is the most important election of my life.
And in John McCain's life.
It's great to be here in Pennsylvania. We need to win in Pennsylvania on November the 4th.
He campaigned across the state today, making political hay out of a comment made by Barack Obama's running mate.
Senator Biden guaranteed that if Senator Obama is elected, we will have an international crisis to test America's new president. We don't want a president who invites testing from the world.
Obama, in Florida, responded to suggestions that his tax plan is socialist.
You know, it's funny. Yesterday I heard Senator McCain say, I'm more concerned with who gets your piece of the pie than with growing the pie. But make no mistake about it. After 8 years of Bush-McCain economics, the pie is shrinking. It's not growing.
He said McCain's response to the economic crisis has been little more than willful ignorance, wishful thinking, and outdated ideology. Now this.
Have you always wanted to travel like James Bond? Well, without dodging bullets, being attacked, or having to assume another identity? Then visit Orbitz.com for your chance to win one of seven great Bond adventures, like a VIP experience at the Wynn Las Vegas or a luxury vacation in London. Hurry to Orbitz.com today for your chance to travel like Bond.
Pricing brought to you by Greylight. Quantum of Solace in theaters this November. Promotion ends 11-18-08. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited. Open only to legal residents of 48 contiguous U.S. states. Must be 21 at time of entry. See Orbitz.com/Bond for rules.
Buying a used car can be filled with pitfalls, but there's one sure way to avoid stumbling. Buy a Honda-certified used car. Only well-maintained late-model Hondas are eligible. Each undergoes a 150-point inspection and then backed by one of the best warranties in the business. And now you can get low 2.9% APR financing on all Pilot and Ridgeline certified used Honda models. Feeling a little more sure-footed, aren't we? Honda-certified used cars. It may be used, but it's still a Honda.
See dealer for financing and limited warranty details.
More than half of yesterday's stock market gains vanished today. The Dow dropped 231 points to 9,033. CBS News business reporter Alexis Christophorus says the easing of the credit system has been offset by bleak corporate earnings reports.
We're seeing that the damage from Wall Street has spread far beyond the financial industry, and so now we've got a chemical maker DuPont and tech giant Texas Instruments, heavy equipment maker Caterpillar, all saying that profits were hurt, and they are not saying good things about their profits going forward.
Tech stocks took a hit today. The Nasdaq lost 73 points. Yahoo has announced plans for another round of layoffs, 10% of its 15,000 employees. But after the market closed, Apple announced third quarter profits jumped 26% thanks to strong sales of the new iPhone. The FBI is investigating more than 30 threatening letters sent to financial institutions, most, if not all of them, Chase Bank branches.
Starting yesterday, Chase banks across the country started receiving envelopes that contained a threatening communication as well as a powdered substance.
FBI spokesman Rich Kulko says field tests on the white powder have been negative. It's still being analyzed, but even sending a hoax letter is a serious crime. What was the message to the banks?
The specifics of the letter would be one of the key elements that an investigator would use when conducting an interview, so we really wouldn't want to give out what's specifically in the letter at this time.
All the letters appear to come from the same source. They were mailed from Texas to Chase branches in or near nine cities. Chase spokesman Tom Kelly says bank employees are going about their business.
They were a little taken aback, and then they realized there was no danger, and they're back at work.
Push has come to shove in Washington's negotiations with Baghdad.
Defense Secretary Robert Gates warns that U.S. troops will have to, quote, stop doing anything in about 2 months if there's no official mandate. Gates says he doesn't want any more negotiations, but some members of Iraq's cabinet declare they're not satisfied with the tentative deal, a draft that calls for U.S. forces to leave Iraqi cities by the end of June 09 and to leave Iraq by the end of 2011 unless Iraq asks the Americans to stay. Dan Revive, CBS News, Washington.
Closing arguments today at the trial of Alaska Senator Ted Stevens. The prosecution said Stevens believed he was above the law when he accepted gifts. The defense said prosecutors twisted the facts. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Bob Kittle here to let you know you shouldn't ignore your tires because
they need their grip, grip so grip. You won't slip.
Slip and slip.
That's why Interall tires are made to last.
Without costing a fortune.
So when it's time to buy, give Uniroyal a try.
For dependable, affordable tires and helpful ebooks containing money-saving tips, visit Uniroyal.com.
Experience the joy of designing your own ring at Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry.
That's Jared!
Let the experts at Jared show you how easy it is to create an engagement ring that reflects your own personal style. Choose from their popular settings in platinum or hundreds of settings in gold. Then select the perfect diamond from thousands at Jared in a wide variety of shapes and sizes to create a ring that's yours and yours alone.
It can only be Jared!
Find a Jared store or shop anytime at Jared.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Voter purges in Colorado, Troopergate update, and phony voter fraud charges. That's on the agenda this hour right here.
I can't take it no more.
Mad as hell, man. 2 weeks to go before Election Day. Some of you are already voting. Some of you have already mailed in your ballots in Oregon and absentees here in California. Too late to register now. Yesterday was the deadline for that. So we're into the home stretch here, and it's getting exciting and a little bit nail-biting. There's no doubt about that. And I have a couple of polls that I want to share with you, first about the Senate races, then about some gains for Obama and Biden. In our next segment, about 10 minutes from now, we're going to talk with Jenny Flanagan from Common Cause Colorado. And before that, I have a brief excerpt from an interview I recorded with Greg Palast in Denver in August about the purging of voter rolls in Colorado. So that's what's straight ahead here. The polling information I want to share with you, I had it on my mind to talk with Mike Lux about it in the preceding segment, but we didn't find the time for that. At openleft.com, they have posted some projections on Senate races. Chris Bowers, who is a colleague of Mike Lux there at Open Left, posted a piece here on Tuesday, and it is quite encouraging. The current projection is that Democrats will pick up 8 seats in the Senate. And depending on how you count Joey Lieberman, that gives them 59 votes in terms of organization, all right, who is the leader and how are the rules set, who are the committee chairs. But it doesn't quite get to the 60 needed for cloture, and that's to cut off debate, avoid a filibuster, and go to the vote on the underlying issue. That's the way the Senate rules work. So this is encouraging. 60 seats would give the Democrats a real one-party rule in Washington, and certainly a lot could be accomplished there. But don't be misled. Some of the Democrats who are running are rather conservative. Like Mark Warner in Virginia is they call him a moderate, but in my book as a progressive, he's a conservative Democrat. And so it's going to be a mixed bag. There could be close to the 60 votes they need to really dominate the Senate. But then we have, you know, so many conservative Democrat incumbents like Mary Landrieu from Louisiana, Blanche Lincoln from Arkansas, and others who, you know, Jay Rockefeller, Dianne Feinstein, who just vote all too often with the Republicans. But here is the encouraging rundown, and I realize that giving you poll information over the radio can be dangerous, especially if you're driving. But you should be able to follow this. In Virginia, Mark Warner is up 3 points over his opponent. In New Mexico, Tom Udall is up 3 points. In Colorado, Mark Udall is up 6 points in his Senate race. Gene Shaheen in New Hampshire is up 3 points over John Sununu. That's not John Sununu, it's his son. Can't remember his first name. Liddy Dole is in trouble in North Carolina, where Hagan is the challenger, and Hagan is up by 6 points. North of my border in Oregon, Jeff Merkley, who was on our show back in August, he is the speaker of the lower house, the legislature there in Oregon. He is currently trending 4 points ahead of Gordon Smith. Al Franken is up 5 points over Norm Coleman in Minnesota. And, of course, the Begich-Stevens race in Alaska kind of depends on the votes of 12 jurors who will decide later this week or at the latest next week on the fate of Ted Stevens and his corruption trial. And we're going to get an update on that trial from Melanie Sloan just about an hour from now. Also on the hunt, Ronnie Musgrove is up 3 points over Senator Wicker in the Republican Wicker. I don't know if he's currently the senator. That's in Mississippi. In Kentucky, Mitch McConnell is down 4 points. That warms my heart. Saxby Chambliss, the creep from Georgia who took the seat from Max Cleland in a stolen election with nasty advertising by Karl Rove, he's down 5 points to a challenger named Martin. And in Texas, a fairly conservative Democrat named Noriega has just a 2-point lead over John Cornyn, a real Neanderthal Republican. So it's encouraging, interesting, but as I mentioned, even if the Democrats get to 59 or 60 seats in the Senate, it will not be a progressive majority. But if we have a Senator Al Franken, well, there's hope for humor and for progressive politics. Also, in the New York Times poll that I cited about 15, 20 minutes ago, one of the things that's very interesting is that the negative advertising and campaigning by McCain and Palin is improving the favorable ratings of Obama and Biden. Obama's favorable rating among men is up 18% over the last survey in September. His positives, his favorables among women, up 5%, 45 to 50. And he picked up 17 points among independents. That's a very encouraging sign. And 3 points in Republicans. So that's encouraging. Among whites, Obama's favorables rose from 37 to 47% from September to October, a 10-point gain. And people under 45, that improved by a 14-point margin from 44 to 58 September to October. And the numbers are even a little stronger for Joe Biden, who averages a 14% increase in virtually every category: men, women, Democrats, independents, Republicans, whites, and people under 45. So all of this is the underlying metric, I think, is very positive, and it does suggest that McCain really needs an October surprise. And there ain't much left in October. So cross your fingers. We hope there won't be an attack on Iran. We hope that there won't be some domestic phony provocation. But we've got to be vigilant, and we cannot relax. And, of course, after the election, we can relax a little bit for a week or two. But then the job really begins, to pressure the Democrats to be real progressives and not just say, okay, you put us in here, we're in charge, you can go away now, we know what's best for you. That's not going to work for me, and that's for sure. I want to share with you a portion of this interview. When I was in Denver, I've got a little micro cassette recorder. It's a digital recorder that's smaller than a granola bar. And I carried it around and caught different people at different times. And I caught up with investigative reporter Greg Palast at the Progressive Central, headed put together by Progressive Democrats of America. And here you'll hear Greg Palast's projection that almost 20% of Colorado voters may be subject to being purged from the rolls this November. Let's listen.
Greg Palast joins me now here in Denver on the Peter B. Collins Show. Greg, we've got the Obama coronation here in full swing. Do you think that with 47-47, the current polling numbers, that this election has become close enough for the Republicans to steal?
No, I think that they've already stolen it. I'm doing an investigation with Bobby Kennedy Jr., who's a law professor and voting rights expert at Pace University, and we're doing finding out what's happening. One of the reasons I'm in Denver has nothing to do actually with the convention. I'm here because this is kind of the Bermuda Triangle of voting. The Democrats must win Colorado. It's a new swing state of the West. Demographics have changed. They think it's all theirs. They've been registering people. What they don't recognize, they seem to be completely unaware, is that the Secretary of State of Colorado, the former one, Danetta Davidson is her name, removed 19.4%. That's one out of five voters. You'd know that if you didn't go through George Bush's No Child's Behind Left program. One out of five voters here has been dumped from the voter list. Most of them don't know it. They show up and they're told you can't vote, or you get a provisional ballot, which they throw away. The Republicans are running a massive unregistration drive. Democrats seem completely unaware of this. So that
it's good government, though. They're scrubbing the rolls of people who might vote.
And, well, you know, their claim is fraudulent voting. And I went through this. Look, I think we first met when I uncovered in 2000 Catherine Harris was cleaning her voter rolls, of scrubbing them of felon voters in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out there weren't any felons. I mean, when I say weren't any, I mean, it wasn't a bad list. There are 94,000 names. We can't find an illegal voter on it. Not one. But most.
So that's Greg Palast when I caught up with him in Denver. And next we're going to talk to Jenny Flanagan from Common Cause Colorado, find out about that 19.4% purge number, and see what's been done to try to fix that. You can join me toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. It's 17 minutes after the hour, and you've got the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Does it seem like the service is lacking at most service stations? Not at Mid-Valley Valero and Shell on Carmel Valley Road. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell offer complete auto repair, smog inspections, major brand tires, 30, 60, and 90,000 mile service checks, complete brake work, and fix any electrical problems. They even provide environmentally friendly auto detailing. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell use only the highest quality original and aftermarket auto parts. Call Mid-Valley Valero and Shell at 831-624-0722. That's 624-0722. Remember, for all your automobile needs, only Mid-Valley Valero and Shell will do. Locally owned, Mid-Valley Valero and Shell. Putting the service back in service stations.
Hey, this is Tom Hartman for Dr. Daniel Turner. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry for 35 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place before your first oral examination. He interviews every new patient so he understands what is important to you, and because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Socolo Mexican Restaurant is proud to announce the opening of our newest restaurant in Old Town Salinas, located at 321 Main Street. As with our original location in Pacific Grove, Socolo features Angus beef, handmade tortillas, and the freshest ingredients available. Socolo offers many unique specials like pozole verde, chicken mole, and albondigas. You won't find frozen meats or canned tomatoes at Socolo. Now with two locations to serve you at 321 Main Street in Old Town Salinas, for reservations and takeout, call 424-1047. That's 424-1047. Or if you're on the Monterey Peninsula, visit us at 162 Fountain Avenue in Pacific Grove. Our phone number there is 373-7911. That's 373-7911. Socolo Restaurant, the place to go when you're looking for quality, authentic Mexican food.
Good afternoon. This is Fia Karim with your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather report. Right now on Highway 68, just east of Highway 20, we have a traffic hazard in the eastbound lanes. CHP is on the way. Taking a look at northbound 101 just south of Potter Road, there is a large object in lane number 1, so watch out there. Now, weather. Your forecasts for the Central Coast tonight are clear skies with lows in the mid-40s. Northwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour, becoming northeast after midnight. Wednesday will be sunny, highs in the mid-70s to lower 80s. Northeast winds around 5 miles per hour in the morning, becoming light. And now some temperatures for today. King City is currently 74 degrees. Monterey is 65. Salinas, 76. And that's your traffic and weather on KRXA 540 AM. The Peter B. Collins Show is next.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. 2 weeks to go before our important national elections. Will you be in the right place at the right time? I don't want to hear you singing Dr. John.
I've been in the right place, but it must have been the wrong time. I done said the right thing, but it must have used the wrong line. I've been on the right trail, but I must use the wrong car. Hit us in a bad place, and I wonder what's good for.
Now, what if you're in the right place, your polling place, and you show up and find out that your name has been purged from the rolls, or that your registration was deemed invalid because you failed to check off a little box that you didn't think you needed to check off? Well, those are some of the games being played in the great state of Colorado, which is a battleground state this year. Obama has a shot at taking it. Jenny Flanagan joins us from Common Cause, Colorado. Jenny, thanks for joining us on the PBC show today.
Great to be here. here. Thanks for having me.
Just before you came on, I shared with my listeners an interview that I recorded in Denver when I was there in your fine city for the convention in August with investigative reporter Greg Pallast.
Mm-hmm.
And Greg said that based on his investigations of the work of your former attorney Secretary of State Davidson, that 19.4%, that's a pretty precise number, of voters have been removed from the rolls, and many of those people aren't aware of it, will show up on Election Day and have a November surprise, which will be, oh, we'll take this provisional ballot and maybe we will count your vote. What's the current state of the purging problem in Colorado?
Well, it is true there have been some purging problems in Colorado. We're not exactly sure as to why all of the names that, you know, that number in the thousands have been removed from the list. And we're doing a lot more research to make sure that nothing was done that shouldn't have been. But I want voters to know out there that provisional ballots are verified after the election. So it is a good fail-safe and a good opportunity for voters if they should arrive and their names are not on the list.
Well, I would disagree, Jenny. We have seen in the past two presidential cycles that the use of provisional ballots is very uneven. And
well, it's definitely not my first choice for voters, and mm-hmm. we absolutely encourage voters to first check their registration before they go to the polls, because in many instances, as we've been talking to voters over the last several weeks, because of the chaos in Colorado, if voters call their county clerks, oftentimes they're able to remedy problems with their registration. So that is absolutely the first approach. I agree with you. I would much rather a voter cast a regular ballot, but that provisional ballot is there, and we hope that they're counted. We have had problems in the past. It's not the first choice.
Right. And so what do you recommend? Everybody in Colorado should verify their registration prior to Election Day or prior to casting an absentee, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, there's the National Election Protection vote line, which is 866-OUR-VOTE. It's a national call center, so callers around the country can use it. And certainly we're encouraging folks in Colorado to check their registration before they head to the polls.
Okay. Now, one of the other issues relates to people who registered but failed to check a particular box. And the state is being really anal about this, if I can use that term.
You absolutely can, and I think it's a fair assessment. It's a ridiculous situation where voters have failed to check a box because of a confusing form, a new requirement on the registration form, and, in fact, poor training coming out of our Secretary of State's office, where voter registration drives are now required to attend trainings through the Secretary of State's office, and many groups were not told of the importance of this box, that forms without the check would be deemed incomplete, and those voters will not be on the rolls when they go to the polls on Election Day.
And is there anything being done to fix that?
There, you know, more letters to voters, and, you know, it's a frustrating thing from our perspective because these voters have taken the steps that they needed to already by registering to vote the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And, in fact, had those forms been a federal form, they would have had the sufficient information in order to be registered. So that's why we think the Secretary of State is making a bad decision and should, in fact, be accepting these forms.
So, Jenny, I'm one of those people who thinks that the brouhaha over Acorn is a smokescreen to
sure.
try to point people in the direction of non-existent voter fraud to distract them from the quite existent election fraud. What's going on related to Acorn and registration drives in Colorado, and do you sense that there are election fraud techniques in place?
I think you're absolutely right. It is a smokescreen to distract not only from the election issues but campaign issues and otherwise. It's just a huge distraction for the American public, our message is, you know, voters should see through all that nonsense and take care of them, you know, make sure that they know what their rights are when they go into the polls, and again, verify. We're not seeing a huge problem with Acorn in Colorado at all, and that's because they've got good checks in place to make sure that their staff are doing what's necessary through their voter registration process and root out problems before they become an issue. The real voter fraud, happens through a deceptive practices when you have partisan campaigns out there providing misinformation, telling folks that they can vote on Wednesday when, in fact, of course, that is not an option. You
that's the right place, wrong time, yeah.
Exactly. there, and that's really where we see it. Oh, you know, there's a lot of, you know, online campaigns providing misinformation. And, again, voters have to go to trusted resources. Go to your county clerk's office. The 866 Our Vote has a strong history of providing a good, sound information. And you've got to see through with a real fraud. And that's, again, the partisan attacks on our voting system, problems with electronic voting we've seen around the country. We can do better.
And in 30 seconds, Jenny, what do you see as other lingering issues that might affect the vote in Colorado?
I think the registration issue is for sure the hanging chad of 2008 in Colorado. We're concerned, and I think you're right, it's going to translate to problems with provisional ballots. You know, it really is going to depend on what happens in the coming days in terms of the closeness of the race, and mm-hmm. it could come down to Colorado.
Yeah,
I think
it could.
Folks out there should be prepared, though. A lot of our counties moved to paper ballots, and results are going to come in slow.
I'll wait a week.
A
month.
Yeah, that's where we're at. We don't think that portends a bad election. It just
Jenny Flanagan, Common Cause Colorado, thank you very much. We just heard from Bob Petrakis in Ohio. He'll join us in about an hour. Right here.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. 2 weeks left. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. 2 weeks until we all have to find something else to fight about. Early voting's already underway in some states. There have been accusations about voter suppression, registration fraud, and boy, you better have your ID. And be prepared to take off your shoes and display your toiletries, too. You know, I don't care what reasons they give. There is no excuse for screwing this election up. There is no excuse not to be prepared for the huge turnout. Election officials are always wishing that more people would vote. Well, wish granted. And we've all known for some time this race was going to be the Super Bowl. In fact, we've known since the line started forming last January outside those elementary schools in Iowa. There has been plenty of time to prepare. So, no excuses. No excuses not to have enough poll workers to check ID. No excuses not to have enough regular ballots. No excuses not to have enough provisional ballots. No excuses for broken computers or not enough pens. And as for what to do when in doubt? When in doubt, you let people vote. We're in this big debate about who is, quote, un-American, which was recently defined as being insufficiently in love with America. Well, let's run with that and agree that anybody who turns away a qualified American voter over a clerical error or a computer crash or because the ballots ran out or because there weren't enough poll monitors or because there were long lines cannot possibly love America. You can't love America if you disenfranchise your citizens. Now this.
Poor workplace productivity can adversely affect your bottom line. Studies show that 40% of office internet use is not work-related. So chances are,
you're losing money.
Designed for organizations of all sizes, the Barracuda Web Builder enforces internet usage policies by blocking inappropriate websites and applications.
It also keeps harmful malware from damaging your network.
What goes on in your business is your business. So get to work. Try a Barracuda Web Builder free for 30 days by contacting Barracuda Networks at 888-ANTI-SPAM
or visit Barracuda.com.
Be sure to ask about our competitive upgrade program.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
I'm Todd Hornick, and I approve this message.
I'm Amy Carrizosa, a peace officer in Monterey County. On behalf of 19 individual officer associations and the entire law enforcement community, we urge you to elect Todd Hornick, Monterey County Judge. Todd's opponent has never practiced law in Monterey County. While Todd has earned our support through his faithful and diligent efforts on behalf of Monterey County residents every day for the past 14 years, Todd Hornick is clearly the best qualified candidate for Monterey County Judge.
I'm Todd Hornick, and I approve this message.
Hi, this is Cynthia.
And this is Paul at the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore.
Have you heard about the events at Pilgrim's Way in the Secret Garden? Maybe too late? Our events include workshops, lectures, and book signings by recognizable and well-known authors locally, nationally, and internationally on a wide range of topics.
Don't miss another chance. You can receive Pilgrim's Way event announcements personally by going to pilgrimsway.com and click on Events to subscribe to the private email service listed. An event calendar is also posted on the Pilgrim's Way community bulletin board inside the bookstore for your convenience. Support independence. Come in and pick up a free KRXA bumper sticker. We're on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in downtown Carmel.
Or give us a call at 624-4955.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Mandarin and Cantonese food prepared to order every day. The May family invites you to savor authentic Chinese dishes like congee and juke at Jim's Restaurant, 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.75 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Jason Leopold joins me in just seconds. He's all over the Troopergate investigation in Alaska. Meanwhile, in the Midwest, oh, Sarah Palin. They love her madly.
But don't you need her badly? Don't you love her way? Tell me what you say.
Jason Leopold's a longtime investigative journalist, worked for Dow Jones, the LA Times, truthout.org, and now publishes online at the nonprofit journalism site, The Public Record, their web address, pubrecord.org. Jason, how you doing today?
Hey, good to be with you, Peter, and I'm sorry I missed you last week.
Well, it happens, and yeah. You were on a big, big story, and you know we have a guilt-free approach here at the Peter
know,
B. Collins Show.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, I do want to talk about that. I don't know how much you've gotten into, and I'm sure you have with Acorn.
Oh, we haven't talked about it in at least 5.5 minutes. we just talked to Common Cause Colorado's Jenny Flanagan, and we were talking first about voter purging,
right?
Then about this scene in Colorado where people who registered but failed to check some obscure box have been told that that's an invalid registration. And then I asked her about Acorn and this whole smokescreen of, so-called voter fraud being an issue when election fraud is our real problem.
Exactly. And, you know, I just want to say that within all of the coverage that has been taking place and people, you know, media digging into this, you know, what has been largely absent, at least from the mainstream coverage of this, is that at exactly this time, Peter, 4 years ago, the Republicans were making the exact same claims. And, you know, I actually wrote about this last week. Ed Gillespie, former chair of the RNC, you know, launched a task force against Acorn to investigate, you know, again, what they called voter fraud, even though nobody was actually going to the polls to vote yet. But this is, you know, a history repeating itself. This is exactly what happened 4 years ago. This is exactly what happened in the same battleground state.
And a friendly amendment? This is propaganda repeating itself.
Yeah. Much better way of putting it. So, you know, it's surprising. I have to say, very surprising when, anyone can certainly, you know, dig into past stories. Even go on some of these lawmakers' websites and check out what they, you know, had called for 4 years ago. This is exactly what happened just prior to the 2004 presidential election.
Mm-hmm.
And it's remarkable that, the mainstream simply has not bothered to see the similarities. This time around, I think it's obviously there's much more at stake, at least for the Republicans, because they stand to lose quite a bit more than they did last time around.
Mm-hmm.
But, it's just, it truly is like deja vu, because just to see what Ed Gillespie was doing in Ohio, in New Mexico, and Colorado, for that matter, it stinks.
Well, and you have a story right up there on the homepage at the Public Record right now about David Iglesias, the principled Republican former U.S. attorney who was sacked because he refused to bring phony prosecutions timed to the election in 06 that would have hopefully, they thought, Domenici, the senator, and Congresswoman Wilson thought that such a an effort would benefit them. And so it is interesting to see, as he points out, the timing of this.
Well, yeah, and even more than that, in New Mexico right now, I'm sure you've heard that there has been, you know, charges that voter fraud, again, that's the term that the Republicans use, has been taking place. And New Mexico Republican Party officials said that they, you know, went through some ballots and they found questionable ballots that were cast in one of their June Democratic primaries. The person who is responsible for that right now, who right now in New Mexico is pushing this voter fraud charge, attacking, you know, groups like Acorn again, is an individual named Pat Rogers. Pat Rogers figures very heavily in the Justice Department Inspector General report with regard to the U.S. attorney firings. In that story that you just cited, the David Iglesias story, I talk about how the role that he played back in 2004 and 2006, how he pushed Iglesias to prosecute Acorn. Here he is yet again doing the exact same thing and calling into question, you know, these suspect ballots. Turns out that the people who did vote over this past weekend, there was a Acorn held a news conference and said that the people that have been called into question were actually legitimately voted. They were, you know, they were allowed to vote.
Mm-hmm.
The issue was about whether they entered wrong Social Security numbers or birthdays. But what the Republican Party officials, they went a step further. They actually read the names out loud of the, you know, 28 suspects is what they call them, who cast what they said were fraudulent ballots. John Conyers weighed in on the issue yesterday, saying that it was a clear attempted voter intimidation. So, you know, again, you know, my point is that the same players, the same, you know, people who were involved way back in as far back as 2002 and resurfaced in 2004 are yet, you know, doing the same thing. And by the way, Pat Rogers, the person I mentioned, is worked very closely with Mark Thor Hearn, American Center for Voting Rights.
Sure.
So, it's playing out. You know. The reason I just wanted to bring it up is that it's playing out in the mainstream as if it's some sort of, problem, widespread problem.
Sure. Oh yeah. I mean, McCain said it could be the largest, election theft in history, and you know that belies 2000 and 2004. That's an incredible comment for him to make.
Right. And you know, I do want to just say that I did speak to David Iglesias about this, and he said it's just he's dumbfounded by the fact that this is something that they're pushing right now. And he said, you know, he made a good point. He said, if there's so many cases, if voter fraud is such a widespread issue, or at least, you know, what they call voter fraud, voter registration fraud, you know, then why haven't there been any, arrests or convictions rather? It's minuscule. And I think that it underscores how desperate, the Republican Party is. And the McCain campaign to steal and try to win this election.
Well, and it's heavily orchestrated. Just give you a quick example. You know, I do a weekly segment on Fridays with Brad Friedman about election issues, and when he a few weeks back he said, Peter, I want you to get John Fund on. I want to talk to him because he's written this book about voter fraud.
I heard that segment, and I have to say that was. I played it probably three or four times just because I enjoyed it so much.
Well, but what really surfaced there is that when Fund determined that our issue is election fraud and not voter fraud, and as I characterized his book as a series of anecdotes that really don't amount to a pattern of behavior, he went on the offensive.
Right.
And, you know, it was clear he did not want to argue the rational points of his book and the fundamental question of whether voter fraud is more of a problem than election fraud. And so he went into Fox debating tactics and just started sniping at Brad.
I thought Brad handled himself well, and I thought that these were, you know, truly valid questions that both of you raised with John Fund. And it's just, you know, what gets me as a reporter so angry is that there are, you know, the public seems to be, you know, except for obviously, you know, your audience, who clearly is well aware of the issues, but the general public at large seems to just be so ill-informed about, you know, what this really is.
Mm-hmm.
And the media is doing a terrible job of explaining this to them. I mean, the New York Times has done some good stories here and there, but nobody has actually, you know, gone out and, you know, taken, just shown in the past, you know, 6 years how, first of all, there's literally, it's virtually non-existent, this whole issue that the Republicans are raising, that it was, you know, they did exactly the same thing in 2004, and they're doing it now. And I just think that it's a, you know, it's important to ensure that the public is aware of it.
Yeah, it is. It's very important, and you're right that most people really don't get it. We're talking with Jason Leopold here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Lines are open if you want to join us, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. Jason, last week I was on the road in the Midwest, in Detroit, and in Cincinnati, and I wanted to relay to you a little encounter I had with a friend of one of my cousins, and she was sitting in her car eating an ice cream cone. Her name's Penny. And she went back and forth in various waves of despondency because she's afraid that her man McCain is going to lose big. And the only point where she brightened, and you know, she's one of these people who you couldn't have an honest, rational conversation with, because as soon as you made a point, she would attack back with a right-wing talking point.
Right.
But when I said, just kind of open-ended, so what do you think of Governor Palin? She just warmed up and smiled and said, she's my girl.
Wow. Wow, that's really, really scary.
The identification of Republican women with this candidate really, it amazes me, because they're not thinking rationally. They're not looking at the issues. They're not even asking if she's competent. They're simply saying, she's like me, and that's all I need to know.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because, today there was a transcript that came out, I believe it was today, but it was an interview that Governor Palin had given to, I think it was a local NBC affiliate, and they read a question to her about a third grader had asked her, what does the vice president do?
Mm-hmm.
And her response was, the vice president controls the Senate. And, you know, I think in third grade, they actually, you know, that kid who wrote to her will eventually learn what the vice president really does.
Mm-hmm.
But, again, you know, the point is that she is so not only misinformed, just uneducated in real domestic politics, national politics.
Now, Jason, we're going to take a break in a minute. I want you to give us an update on the Troopergate investigation.
Sure.
But the thing that really steams me is that the report from the Alaska legislature that clearly and unequivocally stated that the governor abused her authority has been buried, and she has been allowed to spin that as an exoneration.
It says that she violated state ethics. She broke state law.
Yeah. Yeah,
she abused her power and in addition violated the law.
Yeah. And yet the media has basically just moved on. There was one day coverage of it.
Right.
She spun it and they just kind of said, "Ah, who cares?"
Well, I could tell you this, Peter, you know, obviously when we get back from the break, it's getting worse for them. And she's certainly will have a rude awakening.
All right. Well, we'll pick up there after the break. A Rude Awakening on the other side.
Yeah.
Stand by with Jason Leopold. Go read his work at pubrecord.org. That's the public record online. More in a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Fia Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather report. Currently, we have a traffic collision with no injuries on Southbound 1, just south of Morrissey Boulevard in Santa Cruz. Otherwise, traffic is looking fantastic on the Central Coast this afternoon. Have a great commute. Temperatures for today on the Central Coast are Big Sur, 74 degrees. Carmel is 65 degrees. Carmel Valley, 79. Monterey, 69. Salinas is 67. Castroville is 73. And Gilroy is 79 degrees. Have a great afternoon. And that's traffic and weather on KRXA 540 AM. Have a great afternoon and stay tuned to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hello, my name is Bill Monning, and I'm the Democratic Party nominee running for California's 27th Assembly District seat. As a professor, attorney, mediator, and community activist, I have worked to introduce a new culture of mediation and conflict resolution in our courts and our schools. A vote for Bill Monning is a vote for state budget reform, a strong education system, health care reform, and an effective emergency response network. To preserve our pristine environment and build our economy, we must encourage and support green technology, green building, alternative energy, and sustainable water resource management. Despite the gravity of the many challenges we face, I remain committed to the belief that working together we can make a difference. Please vote for Bill Monning for the 27th Assembly District seat. Contact our office at 655-1792 or visit the website at billmonning.org. Thank you. Paid for by friends of Bill Monning.
On July 1st, Carmel's beloved cartoonist Bill Bates had a heart attack. He's been in intensive care for months. The good news is Bill's beginning to recover. But Bill and his family face a long, hard pull ahead, and they need our spiritual and financial support. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please send a check made out to Friends of Bill Bates at P.O. Box 146, Carmel, 93921.
Sun Street Centers in Monterey County offers education and training for employees and employers on signs and symptoms of substance abuse in the workplace and in the family. Services include men's residential and outpatient recovery, family intervention with on-site marriage and family therapists. Don't let finances be an issue. Sun Street is a nonprofit, and they can help low-income families fight the disease of addiction and alcoholism. Go to sunstreetcenters.com to help someone you love. Sun Street.
Here we go, starting another war. We got our heads up our asses. You know, we're really bored. Hey, we're Republicans, and people say we act like clowns. We love natural disasters. Did somebody really drown?
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. Speaking of stolen elections, about 45 minutes from now, we're going to connect up with Columbus, Ohio, and Bob Fitrakis, an attorney and election protection activist who's been on the forefront of investigating the heist from 2004. We continue now with Jason Leopold. Read his work at pubrecord.org. That's the website of the Public Record. And he's got a rude awakening for us about Sarah Palin. But first, we've got William in Santa Cruz. Hi, William. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter. Hi, Jason.
Hi there.
Yeah, I heard a discussion on Democracy Now, and it was with Acorn, and they had a Republican lady representative who was, the Republicans are attacking Acorn, and this woman apparently was part of it, this Republican woman, but she was saying how they're providing a service by purging the rolls because people become ineligible over time. They might move. They might die. Who knows? And so the rolls really do need to be purged. But then she went on and she also included targets of purging. She said people who haven't voted in a long time. And I'm like, hey, wait a second. I'm listening to this and thinking, whoa, wait a second. Voting is a right. Just because you choose voluntarily not to vote for a number of elections doesn't mean you should lose your right to vote and have your registration purged.
That's right. You are correct. There is no use it or lose it law.
And the only other thing I would say is that I think that part of what's going on with the Republicans with the Acorn thing is they're trying to stake out that rhetorical territory. They're trying to say that stolen elections is their issue. That
they're also trying to deliver the perception to white voters that a lot of blacks are voting illegally. That it's a racial message as well. Would you say, Jason?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they're not purging voters from areas that are populated by, you know, Republicans, and there's probably, you know, numerous Republicans on this. It's clear, it's documented, and that's what's so unbelievable about this, is that what the people that they are looking and that they have purged are predominantly minorities, low-income individuals who have voted for Democrats. That's what's going on here, and that's mm-hmm. that's exactly, you know, what they have been doing for the past 6 to 7 years.
Well, they're voting for Democrats. They're un-American, right? I mean, that's exactly right.
Well, and they pal around with terrorists. You know how that goes. Thank you, William. Guys. I appreciate it.
Thanks.
Now, Jason, it's time for the Rude Awakening.
Yeah, well, you know, as you know, Peter, Sarah Palin, as soon as she was tapped to be John McCain's vice presidential running mate, and at that time, the Troopergate investigation was already, you know, about 3 weeks into running its course. She shifted gears. Her, you know, the McCain campaign shifted gears. She filed an ethics complaint against herself with Alaska State Personnel Board, basically saying that this body, which is made up of gubernatorial appointees, is the appropriate body to investigate, you know, things about these ethical issues.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, they were hoping, or she and her attorneys were, or I think it would be safe to say they were betting that, you know, she would be exonerated. That board has since expanded its investigation,
really?
Much like Branch Flower has. They hired an independent investigator. They're not only investigating, you know, whether she was within her right to fire her former public safety commissioner, but they're going well beyond that. They are actually looking at the same things that the independent counsel, Steve Branchflower, is looking at, and it's starting to look like she and Todd Palin specifically are going to come under even more scrutiny from this body. There are two additional complaints against her. One is from the Trooper Mike Wooten's union, Public Safety Employees Association, for illegally accessing or allegedly illegally accessing the trooper's personnel files.
Mm-hmm.
The personnel board is looking at that. You know, I'm told that that there's evidence that may have been the case, and particularly because Todd Palin more or less admitted to doing that in his deposition. So there is a possibility, I highly doubt it, that, you know, the report could come out before the election from the personnel board.
Mm-hmm.
Both Sarah and Todd Palin are meeting with the independent investigator that the board hired this week outside of of Alaska to be interviewed. They had agreed to the deposition. But it's, you know, put it this way, Peter, she's going to find herself she's going to have a lot of difficulty as the state's chief executive, if you will,
mm-hmm.
When they lose this election and she has to head back to Alaska.
Yeah.
There are already, you know, calls for for some sanctions, for civil fines, and in addition to that, two of the key figures in the Troopergate investigation and report are planning on a multi-million-dollar lawsuit
mm-hmm.
against her. And who do you think is going to have to foot the bill for that? You know, Alaska taxpayers.
Well, maybe her nightmare will last longer than ours.
Yeah.
Brian in Manchester, New Hampshire, listening on the stream. Welcome.
Hi. Yeah, I just Acorn is a very lawful, very much patriotic organization. And again, we have this story that for years, Republican operatives have been discarding voter registration forms and lawlessly throwing them away, especially Democratic voter registration forms.
And Brian, we've got a Los Angeles Times story about an L.A.
Yep.
Republican registrationer who tricked people. He told them they were signing a ballot measure, but they were actually re-registering as Republicans.
Yeah.
That's right. I want to get right to the core of what we're talking about, the so-called patriotism of Sarah Palin, Last Refuge of a Scoundrel, a piece by Robert F. Kennedy Jr. recently in truthout.org. She just said the Alaska Independence Party creation was inspired by the rapidly violent anti-Americanism of its founder, Joe Vogler. I'm an Alaskan, not an American. He also said, I've got no use for America and her damn institutions. Yeah. It goes on to say that putting plunder above patriotism, the members of this treasonous cabal, the Alaska Independence Party, aim to break our country into pieces and walk away with the ratchets with Alaska's rich federal oil fields and one-fifth of America's land base, an area three-quarters the size of the Civil War Confederacy. And Sarah Palin gave the keynote address of the AIP's 2006 convention reading for the 2008 convention.
Brian,
why are they not getting her for palling around with terrorists?
Un-American activities. You're right. I'm out of time, Brian, but thank you for raising that point today. And Jason, as always, thank you for being here.
Thank you, Peter. Appreciate it. I'll talk to you next week.
All right. Read Jason Leopold's fine work. He posts a new article almost every day at the Public Record on the web at pubrecord.org. Coming up next, Melanie Sloan checks in from Washington, an update on the Ted Stevens trial. Alaska's making a lot of news these days, isn't it? We'll also talk about Democratic Congressman Mahoney, his mistress problem, and Vito Fonsella, whatever his name is, from New York State. We'll talk about all that and about corruption in Washington as we kick off the Free Speech Zone next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Tired of paying $100 an hour for computer support just for the prompt to return? Hi, I'm Luke Ford, founder and CEO of My Computer Works. Whenever you have a major computer catastrophe or a simple question, give my U.S.-based computer technicians a call, and they'll remotely connect your computer and fix the problem for you. It's safe, secure, and you won't have to let a stranger into your home. Call now to receive 1 month of service free with a membership. Now let's hear from some of our satisfied customers.
They cleaned up the computer, and I sat there and watched everything going on. I was just having a ball.
So the convenience of having My Computer Works connect to my computer right then, fix it for me immediately, is priceless.
I was having a lot of major problems with my computer, and they basically evaluated the computer and went through and eliminated the problems I was having.
Call My Computer Works now, toll free, 888-629-9618. That's 888-629-9618. 888-629-9618.
My Computer Works. Does yours?
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. The swing states are the focus as the presidential campaign heads into the final stretch. CBS News correspondent Howard Arenstein has today's developments.
It's great to be here in Pennsylvania. We need to win in Pennsylvania on November the 4th.
John McCain campaigned in a state that polls show may be out of reach.
14 days, who's counting? 14 days, we got to get out our vote.
Barack Obama spent the day in Florida where he criticized Republicans' handling of the economic crisis.
Instead of common sense solutions, they've offered little more than willful ignorance, wishful thinking, outdated ideology.
Obama said McCain's economic plan leaves a lot to be desired. Howard Arenstein, CBS News, Washington.
The credit market continues to loosen up, and today the Fed announced a new program to shore up money market funds, but stock traders had their minds on corporate earnings today. The Dow lost 231 points on signs that things are going from bad to worse.
We're looking at earnings reports that while the third quarter wasn't good for many companies, we're really concentrating on their guidance for future quarters and for next year, and we're not hearing good news.
CBS News business reporter Alexis Christophorus. In the oil market, these signs of an economic downturn outweighed concern about OPEC production cuts. The price fell more than $3 to close under $71 a barrel. Treasury Secretary Hank Paulson, speaking in New York late today, said financial challenges will persist for a number of months before the economy turns around. The credit crunch has come to campus. David Warren of the National Association of Independent Colleges and Universities says students are having a hard time getting private loans.
We are seeing at least half of our institutions reporting some students who had to drop out or do it part-time.
He says it's hard for schools to increase financial aid because stock market losses have shrunk their endowment funds and donors have scaled back their contributions.
Is it a prank or something more sinister? At least 30 letters containing a suspicious white powder have been mailed to Chase bank branches around the country. CBS News correspondent Dan Raviv has the story.
An FBI spokesman, Special Agent Richard Colco, refuses to give details of what's written in the letters, except
the letters do imply a threat to the person that opens the letter and people around them.
And a Chase Bank spokesman in Chicago, Tom Kelly, says
thankfully the powder in all the envelopes was harmless, and so it was a distraction, but no danger.
But, to quote the FBI, even sending a hoax letter is a serious crime. Dan Raviv, CBS News, Washington.
Most people agree it's dangerous, but in a new poll, 77% of those surveyed said they've sent and received text messages while driving. A train engineer texting is blamed for a terrible train wreck in California recently that killed 25 people. The NASDAQ down 73 points today, closing at 1696. This is CBS News.
It's time to choose a healthcare benefits and insurance plan. How do I
decide based on facts and my friends who are really happy with
Aetna? You're choosing the most admired insurance and managed care company according to Fortune magazine. And Aetna has one of the largest networks of physicians and dentists. So when it's time to choose a healthcare company,
an Aetna plan can help me
feel and stay healthier.
Talk to your employer or sign up at Aetna.com. We want you to know. Aetna.
Plans offered by Aetna Life Insurance Company and its affiliates. Health benefits and insurance plans contain exclusions and limitations.
Referrals. Simple word, right? To a small business, referrals are solid gold. So how do you stir them up? Email marketing from ConstantContact.com. With Constant Contact, you get easy-to-use templates to showcase your business with photos and coupons. And best of all, it's easy for your customers to pass them along to others. In other words, help you generate the almighty referral. Plans as low as $15 a month. Get your free 60-day trial at ConstantContact.com. And let the referrals begin.
You'd think that if parents had insurance, their children would be covered, but that's not always the case. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato reports.
Of the 9 million American children without health insurance, one-third live in households that have it. In a study in the Journal of the American Medical Association, Oregon Health and Science University researcher Jennifer DeVoe finds a middle-income gap where kids' coverage is unaffordable through the parents' workplace and unavailable through government.
We have a country that has figured out how to insure everyone over 65, and we can't figure out how to insure everyone under 18.
Fran Denham had to raise her grandson without insurance. She was covered through her husband's job.
You just hope nothing happens bad because you're up that nasty, dirty creek without a paddle.
Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
An uninsured woman who waited 19 hours at Parkland Hospital in Dallas and never saw a doctor got a bill for $162. The hospital says it's for an assessment done by a nurse. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Have you always wanted to travel like James Bond? Well, without dodging bullets, being attacked, or having to assume another identity? Then visit Orbitz.com for your chance to win one of seven great Bond adventures, like a VIP experience at the Wynn Las Vegas or a luxury vacation in London. Hurry to Orbitz.com today for your chance to travel like Bond.
Pricing brought to you by Greylight. Quantum of Solace in theaters this November. Promotion ends 11-18-08. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited. Open only to legal residents of 48 contiguous U.S. states. Must be 21 at time of entry. See Orbitz.com/Bond for rules.
Buying a used car can be filled with pitfalls, but there's one sure way to avoid stumbling. Buy a Honda-certified used car. Only well-maintained late-model Hondas are eligible. Each undergoes a 150-point inspection and then backed by one of the best warranties in the business. And now you can get low 2.9% APR financing on all Pilot and Ridgeline-certified used Honda models. Feeling a little more sure-footed, aren't we? Honda-certified used cars. It may be used, but it's still a Honda.
See dealer for financing and limited warranty details.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B. And be part of Peter B.'s America.
We kick off our free speech zone in a moment with Melanie Sloan, and later this hour, Bob Petraeus will join us from Columbus, Ohio, the scene of the heist, election 2004. Will things be better this year? We'll find out from Mr. Petraeus.
Let's begin. I am ready. Let's begin.
Sell my soul to
And if you were a United States senator, would you take the stand in your corruption trial under oath and say, you know, we have lots of things in our house that don't belong to us? He said it was a gift. I said, I don't want it as a gift, but he left it there. It's all his fault. Melanie Sloan is the unofficial sheriff inside the Beltway in Washington, D.C. She's the executive director of CREW, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. Hey, Melanie, how you doing?
Good, Peter. I actually attended the Stevens trial today and listened to the closings for a while.
Wow. Well, I want to hear about this, but first, my probing question, because I know we call you at home. It's evening in Washington. Anything around your house that doesn't belong to you?
No, in fact, I've owned all of my furniture. I paid for it myself, but if I did have something that somebody had lent me that I'd kept for 7 years, I would pretty much think I owned that, too.
Possession, isn't it nine-tenths of the law? Uh-huh. So that has to be one of the most remarkable under oath statements that I have heard in a long, long time.
Because, you know, it wasn't one piece of furniture. It's the massage chair valued at $2,800 that was shipped brand new to him, and that he didn't really view as his own. And then there's the black leather furniture, which he says really wasn't up to par because it had some cigarette burns. But he kept it for many years, and it was still in the house, although he was now thinking of giving it to one of his sons.
Uh-huh. And doesn't he have a Viking grill out on the porch that he never uses?
Peter, he never uses that.
I would take it because my gas grill is rusted out and the burners aren't working, and I could use a new one.
It's huge. It looks like a restaurant grill. They showed a picture of it at the trial today. And you know what else there is? There's a fish sculpture that's valued at about $29,000. He didn't want that either.
He's a guy who just can't say no.
He can't say no. He really has trouble saying no to Bill Allen, who just keeps giving him stuff and putting it in his house.
Yeah.
As the prosecutor was saying today in closing, well, you could have taken the key back. That was one option. Another is tell Bill Allen, hey, stop giving me all this stuff. Cease and desist, or I might have to call the police or go to court or something like that.
So tell us what you saw in the courtroom. It must have been a fascinating summation.
It was a fascinating summation. The prosecutor went through all of the things that Mr. Stevens had taken that he hadn't paid for, and he focused a lot on the couch, the leather furniture, and the sculpture, and the massage chair. I think the massage chair might have been my favorite because Stevens apparently had testified, and I wasn't in the courtroom for this, had testified that he didn't want that chair, and he'd never even sat in it. But there was an email from Mr. Stevens saying he loved the chair, and he'd even fallen asleep in it. So hard to reconcile. There's real questions as to why the defense would have put Mr. Stevens on the stand at all. The fact is the prosecution's case had not gone in that well, and Judge Sullivan had been very critical of the prosecution for withholding exculpatory evidence from the defense and had in fact criticized the prosecution to the jury. And so from a prosecution standpoint, and I used to be a prosecutor, right, it was the best thing that happened when the defense decided to put Stevens on the stand, because it is rare that a defendant will get on the stand and help themselves. And not only did Mr. Stevens not help himself, but neither did Mrs. Stevens, his wife, who got up and testified about how really Mr. Stevens' office secretary and accountant had paid all of her Saks bills.
Mm-hmm.
And they just looked like they were liars is really the problem for them.
Well, That's what leads to my question here, because from the comfort of my massage chair here in California, it appears that Brenda Morris had a pretty easy job, which was the framing of this case was very narrow about failure to report the gifts. That's the central issue of the Stevens trial. And so, as an experienced prosecutor, it's hard to understand how she blew it by allowing that witness to go back to Alaska and inviting the wrath of the judge when, to me, the narrow focus of this gave her a pretty slam-dunk potential.
Yeah, that's my feeling as well, and I think that's probably the feeling of a lot of lawyers in town. On the other hand, Judge Sullivan is a more defense-oriented judge, and Brendan Sullivan, the defense lawyer, who is one of the best defense lawyers in the country, is really terrific. You might remember him from Oliver North's fame, in
fact. Mm-hmm.
And he's well known for exploiting, going after the prosecution and proving prosecutorial misconduct. So he was able to play on the judge's own tendencies and the prosecution screw-ups and magnify them into much greater screw-ups than they might have otherwise seemed in, a, say, another courtroom.
Mm-hmm.
That is not to excuse the prosecution, but on the other hand, they also had to come to trial in only a month. And the number of exhibits, there were well over 1,000 exhibits in the case, so there was a lot of documentary evidence. You have to remember they were this case was progressing for several years,
mm-hmm.
so they collected so much material, and so it's not impossible to understand how things got overlooked. But then again, also given what you know about Brendan Sullivan, which is this is his tact, you got to be extra special careful, especially when you have as good a case as the prosecution did.
Then Melanie Sloan, as a former prosecutor, how did you read the jury today?
I thought that the jury was not with the defense. It is all, you know, it's a good, in general, the juries in the District of Columbia tend to be defense-oriented, but when you're a sitting senator and you're explaining how when people are constantly giving you gifts, you just have loans of furniture, and you're a juror from the District of Columbia, you know nobody just lent you, you know, a $2,000 massage chair.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a pretty good exchange that something the prosecution went through about a dog that Ted Stevens got, which the dog was apparently a valuable dog, and there was a bunch of email that was showing how he had really tried to say that the dog was worth much, much less money than it really was. And all of this, I think, just showed Stevens to be a liar. And if you're going to believe that Stevens is a liar, it's all over then, really, for the defense, and I think they might get a conviction. On the other hand, listening to the defense go through its closing, and again, it was Brendan Sullivan. He went through all of the incredible number of bills the Stevens did pay and all of the checks for construction that they did pay. And there were a lot of those. He kept showing check after check and check register, and he showed bills. And his argument is the Stevens paid the bills they got, and he showed that they did. But he didn't really touch on all of the things they got that they didn't pay for.
Mm-hmm.
And so, well, I think the prosecution may have overstated Stevens didn't pay for any of this stuff. It's clear that he didn't pay for some of it. So it depends how the jury will come out, recognizing that neither the prosecution nor the defense totally did a great job here.
Yeah. Well, and 12 votes in the District of Columbia may determine the outcome of the Senate race in Alaska.
That's right, because I think it is very likely that should Stevens get acquitted, and obviously they're paying close attention to this in Alaska, he's going to have a great way to say, you know, this was just the government picking on me, and I think he's very likely to be reelected should he be acquitted.
Melanie, let's turn to a couple of members of the House who have zipper problems. First, Democrat from Florida, Tim Mahoney. He's in a pickle because a former staffer has claimed that he paid her off to keep quiet about their affair. He's now admitted to multiple affairs. His wife is not playing the Spitzer card. She's called for and filed for a divorce. Yet Mahoney is hunkered down and not pulling out of his reelection campaign. It's 2 weeks to go, and he's going to take it to the finish.
Can we just talk for just a second, though, about how nice it is to finally see one of these wives divorce the cheating scum?
Yes, she didn't stand there at the...
I'm so tired of seeing them stand by their cheating, awful husband and just taking it and being humiliated.
Yep, it is nice to see.
So I really hope she takes him to the cleaners and takes him for all he's worth and leaves him bankrupt. So just for starters, we'll go there. Because it turns out it's not just the staffer who he had the affair with and who he was sexually harassing, because when when she ended the affair that he fired her. It's also the woman who worked for the state of Florida who he was helping earmark money for her, who he was having an affair with. And then it comes out, well, there are actually multiple affairs, and we don't even know the full extent of them. And, of course, this is, as you and I have said, this is the Mark Foley seat. And he left in a scandal about the hitting on the teenage male pages.
Yeah, but there were no text messages here, and the women apparently were adults who consented.
Right, and I think that is a big difference. But on the other hand, Mahoney did run on a moral values platform.
Yeah.
So the hypocrisy is really hard to stomach.
And the Ethics Committee has decided to open that second window and do something about this?
Right, they announced that at 6 o'clock on Friday night. I can see that they were really interested in making sure it was covered. And they said that they would talk to people.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. They would interview people who had knowledge about this. And I think what's really going to happen is they're going to wait and see how this election pans out. And when Mahoney loses, that's the end.
Yeah. Now, what about Vito Fassella from New York City area?
Vito Fassella, convicted of drunk driving. And so now the question is he going to serve any actual jail time? Virginia law is pretty tough on this. And if you have a blood alcohol level of... Now I forget the blood alcohol level. If you have a certain blood alcohol level, you automatically have 5 days in jail, and Fassella had over that.
Yeah, his was, I have it in front of me, his was a 0.17, and it's probably, what, 0.8 or 0.10?
Yeah, his was considerably over it, and they had tried to argue in court that the blood alcohol level, that the breathalyzer wasn't good, and that the machine wasn't good, and you couldn't rely on the test, but that was a big losing argument. And, you know, all you had to know was all the things Fassella said at the time to know he was incredibly wasted, mm-hmm. because he was the one who blurted out that he was out trying to go reach his sick child, which is what led to this whole scandal in the first place.
Yeah.
Because, of course, as people may not remember anymore, because it was so many months ago, and there have been so many congressional scandals since this time, Fassella turned out to have a 2-year-old love child with a former employee of the House, Lieutenant Colonel Fay, someone he had met while he was traveling for the House of Representatives.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, he's a married man with 2 kids, also on a moral values platform up in Staten Island.
And Mrs. Fassella?
Mrs. Fassella has not left Mr. Fassella, and they were high school sweethearts, apparently.
Oh, Melanie, there will be a reality show about all this stuff someday, and you can be the narrator.
That's right. It would be good.
All right. Thank you for your report. Great to talk to you.
You too. Bye, Matt Peter.
Melanie Sloan. Visit the website of Crew at citizensforethics.org. We open up the phones for you next in the Free Speech Zone. Let me know what's on your mind. You want to talk about the Obama campaign? You want to talk about purging voters from the rolls? The Ted Stevens trial, any of that's up for grabs, and my lines are wide open for you right now. Dial in at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Hi, this is Sheila Gale. Listen to my show every Saturday from 3 to 5 p.m. 2 hours of in-depth talk on effective ways to help us get through life's greatest challenges, whatever the crisis. Addictions, illness, fears, breakups, money problems. I'll bring in the expert guests and we'll do it with some humor. The Sheila Show, brought to you by Sun Street Centers for alcohol and drug treatment. Go to www.sunstreetcenters.com.
Ever thought about shipping your child to a remote island? Want to send them to their room for the rest of their life? I can help. I'm Mark LeCluse, an intern psychotherapist practicing in SoCal under the supervision of Dr. Chaim Barton. For the past 10 years, I've been helping parents, teens, and kids overcome challenges in their lives, and I'd like to help you too. I can work with your family to resolve conflicts, improve communications, and solve problems. Together, we can turn struggles and challenges into opportunities for growth and connection. I offer an affordable sliding scale, and I'm currently accepting new clients. Please call for an appointment. 831-818-4033. Parenting doesn't have to be so hard. I'm Mark LeCluse. Give me a call. 818-4033. That's 818-4033.
I'm Kevin McGibbon, and I'm running for Cabrillo College Trustee. Cabrillo College is a great part of our Mid-County community. It's a launching pad for university education, and Cabrillo offers needed trade education to support local business, all the while giving its students a chance to afford our cost of living. Over time, as our local economic base grows and changes, Cabrillo becomes that much more important to prepare students for the job market, as well as to local businesses that need new talent. I, Kevin McGibbon, pledge to push Cabrillo's establishment as an innovation center, as a way to source new revenue, attract students, new business, and to take advantage of new facilities that taxpayers have so graciously funded for so long. I'll provide leadership to expand access to a Cabrillo education to underserved students in Santa Cruz County. And I'll challenge Cabrillo to be the first carbon-neutral community college in California. Embracing a green approach will cut costs, generate opportunities for educational programs, and uncover new revenue sources. Let's make Cabrillo even better. Vote for me, Kevin McGibbon, for Cabrillo Trustee.
KRXA is the radio home of Central Coast Sports. Join us this fall as KRXA 540 brings you the high school football game of the week. Hi, this is Rob Ponce. Join John Berlin and me each weekend as we bring you the play-by-play of the high school football game of the week.
The Alvarez Eagles are flying into the Salinas Cowboys pit this Friday, our high school football game of the week. For week 7, it's homecoming for the Cowboys right here on KRXA 540 at 7 p.m. Friday.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Fia Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather report. We currently have a traffic collision with no injuries in Santa Cruz on southbound Highway 1 just south of Morrissey Boulevard. CHP is on the way. We've got no other problems or delays this afternoon, so have a great commute. Weather is looking really great on the Central Coast for this evening. The highs today are 74, the lows are 50. Temperatures right now are King City, 71 degrees and clear. Monterey, 68 degrees and sunny. Salinas is 71 degrees and sunny. Santa Cruz is clear and 78 degrees. Hollister is 71 degrees and sunny. And Gilroy is looking great at 78 degrees. And that's traffic and weather on KRXA 540 AM. Have a great afternoon and stay tuned to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Oh, members of Congress, they're just too sexy. They are babe magnets, whether they're Republicans like Vito Fisella or Democrats like Tim Mahoney. And they just can't help it. They didn't mean to turn those girls on. That's the late Robert Palmer. He was one of the sexiest dudes in rock and roll in the 70s. It's the Free Speech Zone, and nobody's on the line. You can change that. Pick up your phone. Call me toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You know the rules. So they're virtually non-existent. You can discuss any subject, offer any viewpoint, call me from anywhere within the sound of my voice. 888-573-8372. About 10 minutes from now, we're going to connect up with Bob Petrakis in Columbus, Ohio, get a report there at the scene of the crime from 2004, and see if he thinks the new Secretary of State, Jennifer Bruner, a Democrat, will make a difference in the conduct of the election this year. And I want to thank another group of people who have responded to our call for help here at the PBC show. Helen Ferenz of Eureka, thank you for your support. Anonymous from Portland sent a $1 bill. There it is. And on the back, he or she wrote, "I heard that." And one more, M.L. Cook of Arcata. And by the way, if you would prefer to remain anonymous, and a couple of people have said that, we will certainly respect that. Just let me know in any note that you include. And you have two ways to help us. Go to my website, peterbcollins.com, and click on the link, You Can Help. And if you don't have internet access, my mailing address is Box 100, Mill Valley, California, 94942. Again, P.O. Box 100, Mill Valley, 94942. And at the suggestion of many of our listeners, what we're going to do is try a subscription approach. And I'm working out the details now. We'll get this up on the website by the end of the week. But many people have said that they'd be willing to send 10 or 20 bucks a month to help keep this show on the air. And if that's a way that'll work, I'm all for it. I want to keep the show going. I just have reached my own personal limit in covering the costs of the show. And we're not really big enough to attract major advertisers, but I'm still interested in any advertisers who'd like to support the show. And that's another way that you can help if you'd like. So thank you again, all the people who've reached out and offered various ways of assisting us here on the program. Well, you may have heard George W. Bush occasionally, and I believe two or three times over the last couple of years, he said that he would like to close Guantanamo Bay. And it's just another one of those cases where you can't believe a word this SOB says. And Bush's top advisors held a series of meetings at the White House this summer after the latest setback from the Republican Supreme Court. But Bush adopted the view of his most hawkish advisors that closing Gitmo would involve too many legal and political risks to be acceptable now or anytime soon. The administration is proceeding on the assumption that Guantanamo will remain open not only for the rest of Bush's presidency, but well beyond, as a site for military tribunals and for the long prison sentences that could follow convictions. Now, there was a separate announcement today that five prisoners, they euphemistically refer to them as detainees, like they're, you know, just being held for a minute. Five of them have been exonerated. But there's no exact indication what will happen to them. And we know the catch-22 of Salim Hamdan, who was allegedly Osama's driver. And he was sentenced to a very short stint that will expire in a couple of months. And when his sentence is over, he will likely continue to reside at Guantanamo Bay indefinitely without additional charges. And so it just shows how much of a kangaroo court this whole operation is, what an insult it is to our sense of justice, and that this will not help the United States in the so-called war on terror. Because everybody who's held at Guantanamo Bay is a poster person, a poster boy, for jihadists and for those who really are given an extra reason to hate the United States. So it's another reason why 2 weeks from today it would be immoral to elect John McCain. Because even though he has said he's opposed to torture, we don't know if he'll close Guantanamo Bay. Obama says he will. I believe him. Let's hold him to it.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The patient's not responding to the treatment.
I know. That imaginary jingle telling him to go where again?
Coffeetopia.
I've seen this condition before. It is very contagious.
What happened?
Nothing really. Everyone had a cup of coffee and a bagel. Speaking of which, let's go have a cup.
Where should we go?
Coffee, coffee, coffeetopia.
What was that?
And so, it begins again.
For the best coffee, tea, or smoothies in the Monterey Bay Area, visit Coffeetopia. With three locations in Santa Cruz, 3701 Portola Drive near Pleasure Point, 1723 Mission Street on the west side, and the newest Coffeetopia at 1443 Capitola Road in the Live Oak area. Coffeetopia is also the oldest internet cafe in Santa Cruz, with wireless and by-the-minute computer stations. Other places use ice as fillers for their smoothies, but not Coffeetopia. They use all fruit and juices when making their delicious smoothies, and they also feature tropical, high-energy, acai smoothies, bagels, and fresh baked goods.
Coffee, coffee, Coffeetopia. Quite
continental. Let me tell you about Chavez Jewelry Designs in Watsonville. Have you ever noticed how significant beautiful jewelry can be? A lovely diamond ring, special necklace, sparkling earrings, or a watch can be truly meaningful. When purchasing or repairing precious memories, having a friend in the jewelry business is critical. Chavez Jewelry Designs is your friend in the jewelry business. With Chavez Jewelry Designs, you will find the best products and repair service at the lowest prices. Stop by and check out Chavez Jewelry Designs, conveniently located at 1418 Freedom Boulevard in Watsonville's Crestview Shopping Center. Chavez Jewelry Designs is open weekdays 10 to 7. Call Chavez Jewelry Designs at 768-8004. That's 768-8004. A friend is waiting.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life.
Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B. And add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
In a moment, we'll go to the scene of the crime from 2004's presidential heist. Bob Fetrakis will join us from Ohio's capital, Columbus, where that O is optional. But first, Mike in Fair Oaks wanted to join us. Welcome, Mike. You're on the air.
Hi, Peter B. How are you tonight?
I'm doing okay, thank you.
Good. I just wanted to let you know that I'd be more than happy to make a monthly contribution to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Well, thank you.
So when you get it, you know, set up.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you want a membership card? Do you want to be in a club? You want a discount? What makes the most sense?
I joined the Nova M thing and never really got anything from them. So The club thing, at least in that exercise, didn't seem to work.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to keep the administration of it simple. And so the easiest way for me would be is if people would email a pledge, and then that gives me a list, and I can kind of estimate on what kind of support would be coming in month to month.
Okay.
And compare that with what the costs are and see if we can make that fly.
I'll be happy to email you a pledge.
Okay, beautiful.
The other thing I wanted to mention, and I'm just getting back from a few days away from computer contact, and that is a debate that's may very well happen, although several haven't yet, between Bill Durston and Dan Lundgren.
Wait a minute. Danny Boy is going to debate Bill Durston?
Well, the details are that there's an agreement that there'll be a debate held on Wednesday the 22nd from 6 to 8 p.m., October 22nd in Angels Camp.
That's tomorrow.
At the Bret Hart High School. Limited seating, no standing room is going to be available. However, this may be the only time that these two can go nose to nose. There have been a number of other things that Lundgren hasn't shown up at, but again, he hasn't made as solid a commitment as this one seems to be.
So, now, Angels Camp's a beautiful little town there on Highway 49, but is there any more remote location in the district that Lundgren could have agreed to?
Well, and it's historically, in the last election, Angels Camp was a very conservative area.
Yeah.
And it was the site of some discussions in the last campaign between these two folks, but
Well, I hope it happens, and I certainly think that Bill Durston would make a great replacement for Dan Lundgren. So, Mike, thank you for your call. I want to jump to Columbus, Ohio now, where Bob Petrakis is joining us once again. Hello, Bob.
How's it going, Peter?
I'm doing all right. I keep getting documentaries starring Bob Petrakis.
I play the same role, the big, outraged, loud guy.
The latest is Free for All, and that's a free download on the web at freeforall.tv. There's Lies, Spies, and Voting Lies, or whatever that one's called, and I've got some free copies of that here that we've been giving away on the program. And I just think that it's great that finally a lot of this information is getting out. But I wanted to get your prognostication. We're 2 weeks from Election Day. And do you think things are going to go smoothly in this year's presidential race in Ohio?
Well, unfortunately, many of the things predicted by the free press over the last few years, the electronic voter registration list and other things seem to be going wrong as we predicted. You may know that the Secretary of State got a box full of powder and threatening messages. They're assaulting her website, and she's getting death threats from McCain partisans.
Mm.
It's getting really, and that's according to the State Highway Patrol, the sort of manufactured acorn flap in Ohio is really taking its toll. As of today, it looks like the whole thing's melting down, and the whole state's being robocalled with, you know, Barack and Bill Ayers and massive lip drops. And the far right in this state, it seems like they see it as a sign of Armageddon, and literally lots of stuff about Obama maybe being the Antichrist because people like him in other parts of the world.
Well, and what is the status of the court case over registration micro details that could keep 200,000 people from voting?
Well, thankfully, the Ohio Supreme Court just turned down a writ of mandamus where a major funder for the Republican Party had filed and tried to get Secretary of State Jennifer Bruner to essentially do her job, which in their view would have been to purge one-third of all new voters since January 1st. There's four different electronic poll lists. There's every Board of Election has one. Secretary of State has one. And they're checking them against the Social Security Administration and the Bureau of Motor Vehicles. And the Republicans are contending that anyone without an identical name, my name, Robert Petrakis, if it's in there as Robert J., I should be thrown off the rolls. Or if it's in there as Bob Petrakis, even though I have the same date of birth and Social Security number, I should be purged.
And so by trying to enforce the letter of the law, didn't the court say basically that the Republican Party would have a hard time proving that is in the best interests of a free and fair election?
That's the U.S. Supreme Court, which stayed. First, the federal court made that argument. Then Bruner lost 9-6. She actually won a three-judge panel, 2-1, which upheld the federal district court. Then she lost 9-6 en banc with the whole court in the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals. And then the U.S. Supreme Court refused to really hear it and said, you know, they wouldn't lift the stay. But where she won at the lower courts, they made the case that this would not in any way benefit, you know, a free and fair election. The Supreme Court essentially said the Republican Party didn't have standing under HAVA. But the crux of Bruner's appeal, which I thought was interesting, she said this is the exact same system that Blackwell put in place, and the Republican Party never complained about.
Hmm. Interesting. And what is your take on Jennifer Bruner? I had the opportunity to meet her in Denver, and I had kind of a mixed reaction. One is I think she's very well aware of the problems, and the other is I found her to be extremely cautious, and she reminded me that she was on the bench. She was a judge before she ran for Secretary of State, so that seems to be part of her demeanor. But in your view, is she being too cautious, And is that permitting the Republican aggressive activist to roll her in certain ways, Bob?
Well, I mean, they've got the full court press on. I mean, they're really pressing this woman on most key issues, the Everest study, she won a Profile in Courage Awards on. And I think one of the most important things she did is prior to this, they had wanted to purge 600,000 voters,
mm-hmm.
not the new voters, but 600,000 previous voters based on cage list. You know, the Republican Party sends a Democrat in the inner city of Cleveland a letter and says, please respond. If you don't respond, you get kicked off the voting rolls. And Bruner said, you know, you can't kick anyone off based on an undeliverable letter that they don't respond to. You actually have to give that person notice and a hearing. The McCain forces would be on their way to a victory had she not stood up on that. So on one level, you know, she is cautious and she's moved slowly. On the other hand, she's generally always moved to enfranchise people. But I know what you're talking about. She had originally said there would be backup of 100% paper ballots if the machines melted down, which they well may. In this election, there's so many voters coming out, and there's still not enough machines. I mean, she forced them to buy enough machines for 2,000, but they're still short if you get a 70-80% voter turnout. But she backed down and said, okay, there only needs to be 25% paper ballot backup. That's because the editorial board's Republican-dominated really, really beat her up. So she's doing a good job. She's just not doing a great job.
Well, and one of the kind of indirect indicators for me was I asked her if she had read Witness to a Crime, Richard Hayes Phillips' incredible forensic analysis of the 2004 election, and she said no, she hadn't had the time. And frankly, I think that she needs to be informed by what happened in 2004 if she, you know, intends to fully do her job in managing this year's presidential election in Ohio.
Yeah. On the other hand, she did allow Richard to go over and meet with her.
Mm-hmm.
But the question is what activities she took off it. I'm absolutely convinced, having negotiated with her a few times and consent decree, she knows exactly what's going on. Now, the broader question is going to be how assertive she'll be in beating back these forces, which really, I mean, are quite rabid at this moment. I mean, it's they really want chaos in the election. I mean, they've unleashed the prosecutors in Franklin and in Hamilton County. They're going after a voter group of some people that were here for more than 90 days and registered to vote, and also registered 11,000. They're going after them for felonies. They're going after Acorn. The Greene County Sheriff Fisher went after 304 college students, mostly black, from Wilberforce and Central State, two historically black colleges. The Republican Party is really pulling out all the stops. And while she is fighting defensively and fighting quite well, I don't know. There's so many things going on at once. It may all melt down in chaos.
Bob Petraeus, I was in Ohio last week. My mom had her 85th birthday, so I parachuted into Cincinnati for the weekend. And I actually did set foot on the ground of Claremont and Butler counties. And
right.
Based on Richard Hayes Phillips' Witness to a Crime, and by the way, the only way to get the book is from him at his website, witnesstoacrime.com, and I fully recommend it to you. Do you have a sense that those two counties, which really delivered a lot of excess, shall we say, votes for George W. Bush in 2004. Have they cleaned up their acts?
No, they haven't. But the good news is, the Institute funded a lot of the research for Richard, and he also was our expert witness and was paid for gathering a lot of that evidence. But some of the people who helped him out, really hardcore grassroots activists, the Green Party is on the ballot in Ohio, and I've been able to become their attorney. And while they're not campaigning here, we do have spots. So we're now assigning some of the best activists in the state. I just put Joanne Karatsik down there in the Warren and Butler County. So, you know, I pray for the people of Warren and Butler County. Adele Eisner, another great activist up in Cuyahoga. So we've got some of the best voter rights people in the state of Ohio. I mean, battle-hardened, threatened with arrest from 04. you know, I trust them better than the Democratic Party regulars in southern Ohio.
Yeah. Bob, with just a minute here remaining before my break, what have I missed that you'd like to comment on relative to Ohio and the election 2 weeks from today?
Well, that, you know, 600,000 new voters, 75% to 80% for Obama, and more than 1 million registered Democrats, then Republicans. I think the only way that McCain can win this is open theft.
Well, I hope that doesn't happen, both the theft...
Which is a possibility, actually.
Yeah, it certainly is. They certainly seem to be scheming for it. Well, Bob, thanks for the work you do, and freepress.org, right?
Correct.
Yeah, there's another Free Press, and so I have to think about that. But if you go to freepress.org, you can see the very latest from Bob Petraeus and his colleague Harvey Wasserman. Give Harvey my best, will you?
I shall. Thanks a lot.
All right, Bob. Thanks for checking in today. I really appreciate it. That's Bob Petraeus in Columbus, Ohio. We're going to return to your phone calls after a break here. You can get on the line now, toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Your call straight ahead on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
Good evening. This is Fia Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather report. Right now on northbound 101, just south of Chualar, there is a box of produce in lane number 2. Watch out there. CHP is on the way. On Highway 12 at Peeney Road, we have a traffic collision with no further details. Looking at Santa Cruz, we have an incident right now, a traffic collision on Highway 12 just east of Murphy Highway. An ambulance is responding and CHP is on the way. Looking at our Central Coast forecast for tonight, it's clear with lows in the mid-40s, northwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour becoming northeast after midnight. Sunset is at 6:22 tonight. Have a great evening. That's your traffic and weather on KRXA 540 AM. Peter B. Collins will be right back.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly. Cornerstone Wellness Center in Monterey specializes in reducing stress and pain in your body. With 6 professionals, Cornerstone offers hormone balancing for men and women, all natural, no side effects. With our bodies filled with toxins and aches and pains, this approach works. I'm Sheila Gale, and I've lived with chronic neck pain for years. Trina Hammack uses a technique called quantum biofeedback, which to me is a miracle. I feel better and better each day, physically and mentally. Cornerstone offers lymphatic drainage, infrared saunas, ionic foot baths, massage, estheticians, and body strengthening specifically for your body so you'll start living pain-free naturally. Tired of taking medicine? Homeopathy and top-of-the-line essential oils are used. Finally, an alternative that works. Cornerstone Wellness Center, 1088 Cass Street, Monterey. Call today, 373-6204, 373-6204, or go to cornerstonewellnesscenter.com.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following The Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after The Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays, 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Thank you.
continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're in the home stretch here. Our music at the moment from Steve Winwood. It's called Time Is Running Out. If you'd like to support the Peter B. Collins Show and your computer is on the fritz, but not totally fritzed out, mycomputerworks.com can remotely access your computer and fix it long distance. There's a link at the top of my homepage, and if you click on it, they send me a check. It's that simple. PeterBCollins.com and mycomputerworks, they can help you out. And we go to Ron in San Francisco. Ron, why are you calling the Free Speech Zone today?
Because, Peter, I'm a little concerned. I've heard you mention something about, are you going to continue to broadcast on 540 and podcast on 960?
Well, that is my desire. And as I've been telling people, the economy and just some of my own personal financial circumstances have made it difficult to keep the show going. And so I'm working on different angles, and one of them is we're going to see if people want to support the show through pledges and subscriptions and see if that's a way that I can cover the costs. But it's a difficult situation, and I want my listeners to know about that because I don't want to just disappear one day and have people say, well, what the hell happened to him?
Well, that would be a genuine loss. If you could have a PayPal button, that would be convenient for me. I don't know if other people would like that.
Well, Ron, I've actually arranged for that. If you go to peterbcollins.com and click on the link, you can help. At the bottom, there's a PayPal link, and many people have supported us in that manner, and I'm very appreciative of those who have in any amount. Even, you know, $5 or $10 helps. I think that anybody who can show that kind of support at any level it's something I really appreciate.
So are you set up for a monthly debiting system?
I don't have that in place, and I'm not quite sure how to do that, but I'm going to investigate it. What I think I'll do in simple terms is just ask people to send me an email with a pledge amount monthly that they're comfortable with, and then I'm just going to kind of keep track of that, and maybe occasionally I'll send a reminder email if people haven't paid recently. But I'm working out the details on that, and any suggestions that people have are welcome. You can email me, peter@peterbcollins.com.
Well, Peter, it'd be wonderful if you could get on satellite, XM, something like that would be nice. It's too bad that Governor Moonbeam wasn't able to get satellite for the sixth richest economy in the world, because if we had a satellite here in California, it would make it a lot easier to put talk show hosts up on something like that.
Well, I appreciate that. The satellite radio systems are kind of on freeze right now because Sirius has acquired XM. It's an unequal merger. And all my buddies at XM who told me they wanted to put my show on satellite got fired. And I previously did broadcast on Sirius back in 2003 and 2004 before the Howard Stern wave took them kind of into the penthouse zone.
Technical innovation precedes revolution. So WiMAX, when they come out with roll out the 30-mile range of Internet, it'll make program directors obsolete, because we'll be able to listen to you on the Internet over our cars or on portable radios, which will really be cool.
Well, I'm looking forward to that myself. I spent a long time driving over the weekend back and forth from Detroit to Cincinnati, and we had a couple of iPhones in the car, and it's really cool to be able to, you know, be on the web while you're driving long distance. And I think that that model is what we're going to see in the future, where any kind of web-based audio streaming podcasts will be available to you via your car's onboard computer.
Well, we'd like to help you over the rough patch, so just let us know how much, and it's coming your way.
Thank you very much, Ron. I really appreciate that. Good to hear from you today. Now to Anthony in Eureka. Hello, Anthony. How are you today?
Great. Great, Peter B. I hope we can get another advertiser for you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate anything you can do.
Yes. I have two questions, Peter B. I'm looking it up right now. A definition of democratic socialism, a la the Nordic countries? And secondly, how did Denmark, Sweden, and Norway, Finland fare? Not Iceland, because they went bankrupt because of the IMF. They have democratic capitalism there.
Mm-hmm.
But so I don't know how did the Nordic countries fare well with this economic collapse. Do you know yet?
I don't, Anthony. I have not investigated that.
Yeah, I haven't either.
Mm-hmm. What's your suspicion? What do you think is going on there?
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if they fared, weathered it very well. We would have heard otherwise. We certainly heard about Iceland.
Well, and part of that is that they, you know, they've been paying, excuse me, I got to adjust something here. They've been paying fairly high taxes, and so depending on the spending rates in those countries and how their national banks function, my guess is that they're probably in better shape than, say, you know, Italy or France at this stage. But honestly, Anthony, I don't know, and maybe there's a listener out there who does know who might want to share their info.
Yeah, that'd be good to find out. But listen, it is true that democratic socialism does not mean that the state owns the means of production, does it? Or do they own part of it, or what?
I don't think so. I mean, I think of democratic socialism as not the means of production, but that the state provides social services like health care and education. And, you know, you see, for example, in Holland, you are guaranteed health care for life. There's a pension system in place for every worker. And any citizen of the Netherlands, whether they live in Holland or in any of their overseas possessions, is entitled to a free education all the way up through college.
You bet.
And so that's my definition of democratic socialism. Good. And, you know, these calls about socialism coming from the McCain-Palin campaign are just a lot of hooey, because after all, the most recent example of socialism would be the bailout of the capitalist kings on Wall Street.
Happy trails to you.
Thanks for joining me today. We're going to do this again tomorrow, same time, same great radio stations and podcasts, too. Thanks for listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Are you tired of paying $100 an hour for computer support just for the prompt to return? Hi, I'm Luke Ford, founder and CEO of My Computer Works. Whenever you have a major computer catastrophe or a simple question, give my U.S.-based computer technicians a call, and they'll remotely connect your computer and fix the problem for you. It's safe, secure, and you won't have to let a stranger into your home. Call now to receive 1 month of service free with a membership. Now let's hear from some of our satisfied customers.
They cleaned up the computer, and I sat there and watched everything going on. I was just having a ball.
So the convenience of having My Computer Works connect to my computer right then, fix it for me immediately, is priceless.
I was having a lot of major problems with my computer, and they basically evaluated the computer and went through and eliminated the problems I was having.
Call My Computer Works now, toll free, 888-629-9618. That's 888-629-9618. 888-629-9618.
My Computer Works. Does you...
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. A busy day on the campaign trail, Barack Obama had rallies in Florida.
It will take a new direction. It will take new leadership in Washington. It will take a real change in the policies and politics of the last 8 years. That's what this election's all about.
CBS News correspondent Dean Reynolds is traveling with Obama.
His theme today was job creation, and he chose Florida for two reasons. One, it is a battleground state where polls show him actually inching ahead of John McCain, and two, where they have lost 11,000 jobs last month alone.
Correspondent Chip Reed is with John McCain.
With just 2 weeks to go and a lot of ground to make up, John McCain today raced from one side of Pennsylvania to the other.
We need to win in Pennsylvania on November the 4th, and with your help, we're going to win.
But it won't be easy. He's trailing by double digits in most statewide polls. After a surge in registration, Democrats now outnumber Republicans here by more than a million. And while Barack Obama recently drew 60,000 to a day of rallies in Philadelphia, just outside the city today, McCain had an audience of less than 500.
It started yesterday at Chase Bank branches.
A number of our facilities in several states received letters that had a threatening letter and some what turned out to be harmless white powder.
Chase spokesman Tom Kelly.
A couple of the letters were opened and realized it was an issue, so we found similarities and stopped opening similar letters.
That's when the FBI was called in. Spokesman Rich Kulko says at least 30 Chase offices in 9 cities received the letters.
There's some indications these may come from a single source, but a lot of times what we also find is this can inspire copycats, so I don't want to identify it as just coming from one person or persons.
He refuses to divulge the contents of the letters. Treasury Secretary Paulson, speaking in New York this evening, said financial challenges will continue for a number of months, but the economy will recover. But Wall Street took the short view today. The Dow lost 231 points after a series of bad corporate earnings reports.
The nerve endings are absolutely exposed and raw, and so when there is some bad news, whether it's economic or corporate, and in the case of corporate, it would be earnings, it translates into